Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
First, 8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads, sure, but there's thousands of them. But the only one out there that uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep is 8sleep. The pod by 8sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Oh, God, I could have had a decent childhood if I had one of these when I was young. All I did was sweat and toss and turn. Now I have 8sleep. Research shows the link between sleep performance and temperature. Of course, you don't need to research that. We all know it. The pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. The stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. You're worth it. Right now, you get $150 off your pod and free shipping when you go to 8sleep.com/classic. That's 8sleep.com/classic. E-I-G-H-T sleep.com/classic. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for December 28th, 2019. The show where we highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. In clip form. It's so nice. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Or Lord Zed. You can start calling me Lord Zed.
Okay, LZ.
I like it.
I will. Now, last year, Harlan Williams came in. Now, we love whenever Harlan comes in. He does his bird noises. He's so funny with Adam.
And agreed.
It's a joy to have him. But this time he wanted to try something different. So he came in studio, did his usual thing. But then he asked, hey, can I come in for the next segment as a character? And we love Harlan. We trust Harlan. So we said, yeah, do it. And he puts on a mask of a pug, where he has the head of a pug, the body of a human, and he called himself Carmel Corn the Pug. And we let him do the interview through the mask. And he literally did it through the mask. You can hear in the audio. His voice is a little muffled.
It's very
ambitious.
Like that time Conway had to rap through the wire.
Yeah, exactly.
This is actually a listener request, by the way, as well. It's Billy C. He writes, and Harlan Williams as some kind of masked comic dog. You're doing the Lord's work. And that's Carmel Corn the Pug. This is from Adam Carolla Show, 2392, Harlan Williams, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. It's from August of 2018.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Orlando, Florida. A 34-year-old man was arrested and charged with animal cruelty after people at a park saw him kicking swans in the head. The man also kicked a sleeping duck. Definitely not a Jew.
Carmel Corn, the comedic pug, is in studio.
Finally.
What's up, bro? How are you, man?
Carmel's got a special out that's available now on Amazon. It's called Carmel Corn, the pug. Kick him in the kibble. Good to see you, Carmel.
Good to see you, man. That little thing you just played about animal cruelty kind of chapped me right in the old chapstick, bro.
Yeah, no, I know. It's sad, right? 2018, people acting this way.
You've never, like, kicked a dog or been cruel to animals, have you, bro?
Not one that didn't deserve it.
Whoa, wait, hold, roll it back, bro. Reel in the fishing line. What the hell was that comment all about?
Well, I'm saying, let's say they chew up a duvet cover, or maybe they're just eyeballing you.
Duvet cover? What are you, gay, bro? What's a duvet cover? Where do you live? Brokeback Mountain, bro? What the?
Well, look, I don't want this to take some weird sexual turn here. I'm just saying.
You said duvet. Who says duvet, bro? What are you?
Well, I'm thinking of a part of the bed that's kind of low hanging.
Okay, you want me to run out and grab you some cupcakes or something, bro? I mean, what's going on here?
Cupcakes in the car.
Bro.
No, I'm saying, like, I could have said dust ruffle and butched it up a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
But I went duvet cover because I'm looking for a little international flair,
duvet,
you know?
Sounds a lot like du gay, bro.
Wow, yeah. I did not see this going that way.
You brought it out. You brought it out of the closet,
Max Zapata, is a dust ruffle and a duvet cover the same thing?
No.
Whoa.
It's not?
No, a dust ruffle goes at the bottom, like a bed skirt.
And where's the duvet go?
I have no idea. The duvet is like the bedspread.
Wait a minute. I think the big question here is, does a dust ruffle have ridges?
Does a ruffle have ridges?
No,
yeah.
A dust ruffle.
Yeah, no,
bro.
I didn't say ruffle.
You added that.
I got it. I got where you're going
now,
with that.
Now, let me ask you this, since we're talking about your hatred of animals. Have you ever hit an animal, bro?
Oh.
Like, you're driving in the night, you've been podcasting all day, you're bleary-eyed, it looked like you've been sucking on a Spanish onion, you know, tears, it's late, you're driving down Mulholland, you ever take out a deer, or a coyote, or a squirrel, or an orpapod?
I'd like to answer that, and it's a way that I don't know if it'll be satisfying with you, but I'll try to be honest.
Okay.
Gina, could you turn the mic toward Carmel
sure.
a little bit more? Or there, Carmel, you can
there
do it yourself
go.
As well.
Yeah,
I don't mean your mic.
There
you go. Appreciate
That's on Facebook Live, by the
way. I have hands, bro. Okay?
He has a pulsable thumb.
Listen, I don't like you, but I don't hate you, Gina. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, Carmel.
By the way, what's an orpapod? I said that, and I wasn't really sure what it is.
I don't know.
Is that a whale?
I don't know.
Is it a killer whale? An orpapod?
I hate a lot of those at night.
Duvet covers just the thing on top.
All right,
let me tell you this quickly, and I'll give you my answer.
Okay.
I just want to tell you this half of the show was brought to you by Geico at geico.com. Now, speaking of cars and insurance, I have the same answer for running over critters.
Okay.
As I do for...
critters is a racist term in my circles, bro.
All right,
so if you could just say
wildlife, animals.
If you're going to drop the C word on me, maybe we got a little problem.
Oh, man, there's another C word?
Okay, you know what? Why don't we just get to what you killed and ran over?
Well, here's what I'm saying, Carmel.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I drive down to 405, I see that sign... shows the Mexican families like fleeing.
Okay.
It's like, look out.
Right.
And
humans.
I see one. Yeah, they're humans.
So
I see the ones for deer, too, like up in the hills. Like, hey, deer.
Yeah, I've
and
seen that.
So my answer is this. You don't have to tell me not to run them over. That's built in. You know what I mean? I would avoid running them over. And it's not because I like deer or Mexicans. I just have a high deductible. You know, so I feel the same way around pugs. You know what I mean?
You ever hit a Mexican with antlers?
Oh, no, I don't. I couldn't see a scenario where I would do that. That'd be super confusing.
Because it doesn't exist, bro. I just made it up. I'm a comedian, bro. That's it. Come on.
Latin jackalope.
Don't have antlers, bro.
Yeah, no. I, we're really spinning off in outer space here. By the way, is it Carmel or Carmel?
Carmel, bro. Like Carmel. You know the city of Carmel? Clint Eastwood's the mayor. You know Clint Eastwood. You've hung out with him at golf tournaments.
Well, no, see, I... Now I'm confused, because I'd say the Carmel. City of Carmel.
It's more confusing now.
It's Carmel.
The city of Carmel?
City of Carmel, right next to the town of Corn. You put them together, you get the Carmel Corn, bro.
Would it be a caramel apple or a caramel apple?
Caramel, bro. Come on, I'm a purebred. I think I know my... You want me to jump on Ancestry.com and fucking shove a cucumber between your eyes?
Well, what do you... Well, don't threaten me. Are your parents both pugs?
They're
are they mixed?
Pugs, bro. Well, actually, my dad was a Shar Pei, and a Volkswagen backed up on his face, and people think he's a pug.
Oh. So he's got the extra.
Mom's a bitch. My dad's a stray, but, you know, I'm doing all right, bro.
Yeah, you landed on your paws.
I'm doing okay. I'm touring. I'm hitting the country with a lot of stand-up gigs, and, life's good. Make it happen. Yeah.
I don't know if you've tried this, but if you got a note from a doctor online, could you just fly free as your own personal comfort me? You know what I mean?
I see where you're going.
You'd be
bro.
Like people bringing the comfort dogs on.
Right.
You go to the airport. You find someone else who's, hey, you going to Cincinnati? Yeah, I got a gig.
Yeah.
Here's 40 bucks. Just carry me on the plane. Yeah.
Well, actually, my mother crocheted me a nice sweater that says mental case on it. So I just walk on. I even fly for free in first class because they don't want me near the back where they can't keep their eye on me. Plus... They don't want me humping stewardesses in the back, bro.
That's smart.
Oh, I love a stewardess leg. They got veins on them. It adds a little rigidity to them, you know?
Yeah.
The veins, they're getting a little older,
They're getting old on those.
But not in people years, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, here we go again. You're kind of wiggling back into racist territory.
Well, I think I'm here just to kind of, I'm a truth teller, you know what I mean?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm about 45 seconds from running over there and humping your face. So,
all right,
complimentary.
Look, my thing is I don't see color. I can't smell it, though, you know?
Yeah.
The different races.
Yeah.
So, here's my pitch to you.
Yeah.
We got dog ears.
Okay.
Right? I think it's about 7 to 1, right?
So, old are you?
Well, I'm 54.
Okay, so I'm 312.
Right, so you'd be much older in dog ears, right?
I'm a Highlander pug.
But can we do this?
Yes, we can.
Well, hold on. Let me pitch it.
You'd make
a hell of a groundling. Let me say this. Okay. If I'm 1 and you're 7 in dog years, because my average age is 80 and your average age is 14, we've done the math, then what about giant tortoises who live to 150.
Yeah, a different scale.
Shouldn't they then have their own lower tortoise? Shouldn't every animal have its own number?
Yeah.
Why is it just dogs? And then the number for the tortoise would be like 5/8.
Excuse me.
It'd be like 7 months you see what I'm saying?
Well, I see what you're saying, and they're called Galapagos tortoises, bro.
Okay,
you're going to leave that part out. Well, what's that say about you?
No, you're right. I should find a mirror.
Mathematical question. Here's the answer. I don't know if you can handle it, but here it is. If you're 7 years old, that makes me 11. And if you're my owner, you're going to open a 7-Eleven, bro.
Oh.
Wow.
See, I'm a stand-up karmic dog. I think in comedic terms.
It's just science. Who lives the longest? The tortoise? The giant tortoise?
The Galapagos tortoise.
And if they're 150, then they should just be 5/8 or half, right?
Yeah.
On the same scale, a number. Mm-hmm. Would it be offensive to call you cute?
Not really.
Okay, because you're very cute.
I'll tell you what, if you throw a walk in with that, I'll take it.
I'll go home with you.
I never considered that an animal that humps legs, a veiny leg, would be like ribbed, you know what I mean? Would be an attractive leg.
Yeah. It's pretty gross. Mm-hmm.
Stewardesses.
Well, think about it.
Yeah. They're called stewardesses, by the way. Just like you got Galapagos wrong, they're called stewardesses.
Stewardesses, okay.
You fly right at ammo.
Yeah, man. That's what they...
When you want a drink on the plane, when old Dad Ammo's sitting on the plane, he's been doing an all-nighter, flying the red eye, your eyes are all veiny and red like you've been sucking on a Bermuda onion, and you need a Bloody Mary, you go, hey, hey there, Steward S.O., right?
Well, sometimes they have a lot of fellas now on planes serving.
Here we go, right back to the guys, huh?
Well, no, I'm just saying. Yeah, so I'm trying to be even
Excuse me, can I have a duvet
here.
Over here? I'm a little chilly. Huh? Is that where you're going, guy?
I'd say it's almost about 50% as I see it now. Yeah. As I think about my last few flights, I've seen about 50% of dudes.
Okay.
Stewards.
Yeah.
Stewart.
Yeah, or just call him Stewart.
Or
right?
Larry. Hey, Larry.
You traveling? Are you performing around the country?
Traveling all around, doing stand-up comedy. I'm headlining, and I have a new special out called Caramel Corn the Pug, Kick 'em in the Kibble. Exclusive, guess where, Brian?
Amazon.
Well, I was pointing to Brian.
I understood, but he was looking at something.
I was looking at the
Brian, my special is... Brian?
It's on Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Kick 'em in the Kibble.
Now, if I point to you at Ammo... And that's when you answer, but in this case, I pointed to him, and you interrupt. You, what we call in landmine country, you stepped on him, bro.
You can go to Amazon and bookmark us and click through. Why not? All right, let me tell you about Geico real quick. By the way,
Geico, an animal, a lizard.
True.
Gecko. Oh, that's right, Gecko. Yeah. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You go to geico.com. And just slide over to your computer, go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing to do. You do all day at Geico, geico.com. All right, we're going to bring in the great Harlan Williams.
He's good. I've worked with him, bro.
Yeah, he's good.
I used to open for him before I became a headliner. He's awesome.
Does he open for you now?
No, he's still a headliner, I think. I mean, you'll have to ask him. But, I'm taking care of my own tour, so I don't really want to talk about other comedians.
You guys wouldn't perform in the same venue?
Not anymore, but we're buds. He was a mentor. He helped me come up through the ranks. And, I owe him. I owe the guy. He's class. He's a class act. Cool guy.
Sometimes there can be a little acrimony with the two comedians.
Okay.
And
One's surpassing the other.
I mean, just how you sort of passed him on the way up. And he was established comedian for all those years. And then you're just kind of fresh on the scene. And now you're kind of taking over.
That's true.
He's doing okay, but he's not. Caramel Corn the Pug.
He gets it. He knows he had his time, and now it's the Caramel's turn to shine,
Okay. He's cool with that, look, I like Harlan.
Yeah, he's all right. You guys are buds, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I wouldn't call us buds, but, we're acquaintances.
Right, you just know each other.
We're on good terms.
Like, you don't go to movies together or buy, Walmart sleeping bags and camp and stuff, right?
No, not at Walmart. No, we go.
What about a Frosty down on the beach in Venice? You ever do that with the old Harlando at Ammo?
I've been to his home and watched UFC fights and drank some craft beer.
Chicken wings, maybe?
Yeah, he makes chicken wings.
You ever suck on an onion at his house?
No, not his.
So your eyes start bleeding, you suck on a big raw
he does make a good,
onion, bro?
He makes a good chicken wing, as I remember.
Okay.
He's zesty.
He's zesty. I love the guy.
All right, so as long as you guys are cool, because he's going to pass you on the way in.
Okay, thanks, man. It's great. Thanks for plugging my new special on Amazon Prime, Caramel Corn the Cook. Pick him in the priggle.
Oh.
Wait. Well, no,
kibble.
Kick him in the kibble.
Yeah.
The pug, yeah.
All right. Bid adieu to Caramel Corn the Pug, and we'll bring in Harlan Williams.
Awesome. Thanks,
right after, and then the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I'm sorry to start off on such a sort of a sour note, but this is so bizarre, and we haven't talked about it. There are more details coming out about this compound in New Mexico where children were allegedly being trained to perform school shootings. Prosecutors said in court Monday that children living at this compound told investigators that the 3-year-old whose remains were found were buried where they did basically a ritual on him to cast out demonic spirits. The story's insane. This news was revealed during a court hearing where five adults who were arrested on charges of abusing 11 children lived at the compound in these deplorable conditions. We're looking at it. It looks like a kind of a Mad Max post-apocalyptic thing.
I'm going to go not a Jew. Rich man, poor man with the compound. Like a kid living on a compound. You could be one of the Kennedys or you could be out in the middle of Phoenix being beaten down by the sun living in a teepee made of used tires.
Yep.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Deplorable. Look at that. There's tires. There's tires everywhere and bales of hay.
Hi, Harlan Williams. Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Like an obstacle course. Yeah, here's a bird's eye view. There's more to this story. We may or may not get into it, but just bizarre that this, I don't know if you can tell from that picture, but most of the compound was built subterranean. So the roof is basically on the floor.
Roof? It's a Ziploc baggie.
That's true.
I blame Janet Reno and or Waco because ever since that disaster, the feds are like, can't we just kind of live and let live here? We really don't need another one of these fireballs where kids are going up. Yeah. And like, what if we just kept driving and pretend like we didn't see this compound?
Yeah.
Because they're not interested in getting into it with anybody anymore, right?
You're probably right. Mm-hmm. One of the kids, one of the adults that's on trial, 39-year-old Siraj Wahaj, was allegedly, he was charged with allegedly kidnapping his son, Abdul Ghani, last December from his mother's home in Atlanta. The search for the missing boy led the officials to discover this compound, and it just had all this bizarre stuff in it, this weaponry, just a strange place.
Yeah.
Haunted looking.
I'm a little surprised in a weird way there's not more of this, considering how nuts everybody is and how much open land we have.
Yeah. But don't you have to go to the source? Like, don't you got to go the parents named Siraj Wahaj? That kid doesn't have a chance of being normal.
His real name is Mark Jacobs, which is always like comical because I'm sure he was born Mark Johnson and now he's Siraj Mahaj. That's him.
It's possible.
I've like to find
Max Seuss character.
Find out this guy's real name because I will bet you he was not born Siraj Mahaj.
Graham Wellington.
Yeah, his name like Mark.
Siraj, middle name IBN. Ibn Wahaj, Wahhaj.
But he had a kid in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a more pedestrian given name and then just say he went and made that name.
What about his kid, Malaj Babaj, in Atlanta?
I feel bad for that, Malaj.
God.
All right.
Yeah, very strange.
Compound.
Yeah.
Never a good thing.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, switching gears a little bit, the San Francisco Chronicle reports in the city where filthy sidewalks are many residents' number one complaint, San Francisco is doing something about it. They're going to find a new way to deal with the fecal problem on the streets. They are launching the Poop Patrol. In about a month, a team of five public works staffers will begin patrolling.
Rented that, by the way.
Wow.
Would you like it?
You
watch it more than once.
That's what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Wasn't Ali Sheedy great?
It's no Ubangus Uranus.
It definitely delivered on what it advertised.
I'm sorry, what was the other one?
Ubangus Uranus? That was the name of the guy who ran the cult in New Mexico.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I must have said it wrong.
What
were
you talking about?
I'm sorry, I have no idea.
How about Bust a Nut in Grandma's Butt? You seen that one yet?
Ow. Not yet.
You will.
Day is young.
You will, guy.
Or all right, sorry. The best fetish film I've ever seen the title of is Lactose and Tolerant.
Wow.
Yeah, for breastfeeding.
So, look, if we're going to give out, you know, we started with clean needles.
Yeah, no, we're moving on.
Aren't we just going to go to, like, diapers and bags and stuff where we just go, look, we passed the hat and we got, well, it's actually a hat you shit in, but you put a liner in it. Called Passing the Hat. We raise money through local charities. We're giving everyone a Stetson. And you just put this dog. The same thing I got for the dog when I take it for a walk.
See those
and
they on
just,
like, you know, light poles or whatever sometimes.
Yeah, just line it up and do that.
They're very close.
Are we hiring people to pick up fecal matter?
The Poop Patrol is going to be patrolling the alleys around Polk Street, other hot spots, in a vehicle equipped with a steam cleaner.
I want to see the guy who made the Poop Patrol. Dad, good news. Good news. You got into Stanford. I'm not saying I didn't get into Stanford.
More Dr. Seuss.
Been 14 months.
You guarantee you're not picking up poop.
Okay, so let me say this. Dad, All right, let me just rephrase this. Dad, some news.
Oh.
Not good news. I probably led you down that Stanford
path. You know what they said? Some news is good news.
So let me try it again. Dad, some news.
Oh, okay, let's hear.
They have an...
Not involving Stanford.
Well, again, it's only been 14 months.
Okay.
So we don't know yet.
Okay. Final note.
The jury's still out on my acceptance to Stanford. But I have been asked to join an elite fighting force that the city has put together.
Congratulations.
Think Navy SEALs, Green Berets, scooping up human shit.
So you'll be... Well, I'm sorry, but I got the Berets and the Seals and doing what?
Did I say Green Beret?
Green Beret.
Brown Beret.
Okay. So more of a French thing?
Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
The city.
Sea and the air and land.
The city asked for the best of the best, but then they found out they were at Stanford and had been accepted.
Right. So you got to go to the next. So
then I showed up and they said, we got a mission for you, bucko.
Okay.
That we don't trust with just anybody.
They need the best of the best available.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they got together an elite street force.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the tip of the spear.
You're going to be boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. Cleaning up this city.
Well, they don't let us wear boots.
Okay.
Too big a footprint.
Oh.
It tends to spread the poop around.
Oh, sorry. This is the second time you mentioned poop.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Boots on the ground.
As it pertains to your job, are you going to be avoiding poop?
We always avoid poop,
okay.
But we don't turn and run from a good poop fight. Understood?
I feel like you're mixing your metaphors.
Okay. Have you heard from Cal?
No. Cal, our friend who lives down the road, or Cal University?
Yeah, it's been 17 months.
Either way, no.
Okay. Remember how our dog died several months ago?
Yes.
And you told me to throw away the little rake with the scooper thing on the bottom of it that picked up Hal's dookie.
Right. I reminded you several times.
And I've always forgot to do it.
This serves as another reminder. Please throw away the rake.
Great news.
Oh, what's that? Threw it away.
No. Oh. That's part of the standard issue equipment. And whereas normally I'd have to get a deposit to get it from the city, I can use our stuff. And they will actually pay me for the thing you wanted me to throw away so I can pick up bum shit 24/7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Still no word from Stanford?
No word. But any day now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, poop patrol.
Someone walking around and do that.
Everyone's going to sound just like that when they tell their parents. Would you like to guess how many calls they get every day regarding sidewalk poop in San Francisco? What's the average?
Between people and dogs?
I'm Can I say this, too? As a gal,
mm-hmm.
I'm a potential suitor. Mm. And you go, what do you do all day? And one guy goes, I pick up human shit on the sidewalk for $11 an hour. Yeah. Oh. And then you go, the other guy, what do? I have sex with a cassava melon.
I'm listening.
Where do you go? Like, I put it in the microwave for 30 seconds. I just get it up to body temperature. Right. Where are you? Do you go,
Which one won't give me... one guy is employed, technically,
but you have to think about poop all the time.
I would like to go with whichever one I have less of a chance of catching hep C from. So that would be the cassava guy.
And then he's constantly going to be critiquing you. Like, I'm a Finnish carpenter. So I go to Harlan's house and I go, oh, they went with quarter round instead of base shoe. Interesting choice.
How do you like that?
That was an interesting choice. Yeah. Uh-huh. I noticed there's no doorstop on your entry door in there. Are they they went with a 3.5-inch hinge instead of a 4-inch exterior. Mm-hmm. I would do that. Yeah. This guy would walk into your bathroom when you're shitting and be like, really? That's all you got?
Yeah.
Well, how does the guy know the diff between a dog loaf and a human loaf? Like the guy walking, how does he know that's a St. Bernard turd or Melvin's?
Well, that's a whole different job, right?
Yeah. It's a specialist.
But I guess if it's new and it's in the middle of the sidewalk and people have been picking up their Duke for their dogs, how many calls? 30,000.
A day?
I don't know.
Okay. A little less than that. On the average, they get 65 calls a day about human poop on the sidewalk.
Yeesh.
All right.
Time to do something about it.
Shall we stay the course, people?
Everything's just fine. We're doing great.
I dream of a world where I get to leave the Staples Center order a ghetto dog and then just defecate on the steps there,
so
and
close.
There's nothing anyone could do about it. We're getting close, yeah. Right?
You could smell it from here.
It's almost manifest.
You know how on Martin Luther Day, they always give a speech, and they go, like, we've come a long way, mm-hmm. but there's still
plenty of road to go.
Plenty of road to go. That's what I feel like. Yes, we have illegal selling food, and they're unlicensed, and they're on public property, mm-hmm. and that's great. We've covered a lot of ground. And yes, we have people in the Bay Area shitting on the sidewalks. But I dream of a day when a little black boy and a little white boy can leave the Staples Center and get
drop
one
trial.
Of those bacon dogs and then shit all over the steps.
Whoa.
And there's nothing anyone can do about but calling the poop patrol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very close.
Yikes.
Are they marked? I mean, they got to have windbreakers, right? And then what color are they?
I would like to think they have hazmat suits.
Yeah.
I mean, this is biohazard.
Yeah. Mm. I'd wear like a lobster fisherman's like yellow raincoat type.
Yeah.
You ever
the
watch
Gordon's
The Deadliest
guy.
Catch?
Yeah, that'd
yeah.
be you.
Yeah, I'd wear that.
That's
and
good.
You'd be like, hold my pipe, I'm going in.
Yeah, hey, hold my pipe, I'm going in. I'd probably use a lobster trap to catch the loaf, too.
What do you think? Do you think eventually there's going to be the best? You know what I mean?
Like he has to come out of retirement.
Yeah, like they did with Wahlberg and Shooter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's only one guy can pick up that load.
Well, what about the biggest loaf? What if they start competing for, you know, I got a 3-pounder down by the wharf there yesterday, eh, Ed? Oh, and I got a 6-pounder out at the mall there, just outside of the old JCPenney there, guy.
I like
are you going to take a picture
Canadian.
Of it holding it upside down?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to do something. It's comedy, guy. You got to throw accents on things or it doesn't work. You should know that.
I wish I had an accent.
Do you want to try one? Do you want to try a French-Canadian?
Yeah.
Why don't we be two loaf guys competing? I just found a 12-pounder down there by the In-N-Out Burger, eh, guy? You can't. Like, you gotta do your voice now.
Well, I just found one riddled with corn, eh?
Okay, you're getting there. You're getting there, guy.
I feel like we've done too much poop talk.
Yeah.
Some people are eating breakfast.
Would you like to switch to pee, or should we move on altogether?
Oh.
I'm intrigued by pee.
Okay. Well, this is very interesting. We did a lot of, what do you call it, the long trench pee thing that you guys have to use?
Trough. The
so,
piss trough.
A lot of hot trough talk the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I found this story, and it spoke to me. CNN reports that an attempt by officials in Paris to tackle public urination. They're attempting to do that by installing open-air urinals, and some people are not happy about this.
Mm.
I have some pictures. The new urinals, housed in flower boxes, they are not subtle. They're fully exposed on the street. They're painted bright red, and
where
they
is this?
Have... This is
Paris.
In Paris.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Nearby signs advertising where they are. The intelligent urinals, they're called, which have a straw layer, eliminates odor. They were installed in areas where public urination is a problem.
You've and seen apparently, the ones in England or Ireland. Or whatever it is, where like they look like foam booths,
right?
Eventually.
Yeah, but this looks like a trash can.
This looks like a mailbox. How many people have lost their Christmas letters in the pee box?
Well, apparently it's eco-friendly. They will harness nutrients in the waste for parks and gardens. According to the statement, 1 year of a person's urine holds enough nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium to fertilize 400 square meters of wheat.
Oh, this is great.
However,
wheat.
These features
couldn't
have
we
done
just pick you know, something we don't eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like
tulips or something?
A lot of people are not happy about this, but can you imagine just going up to one in the street and just dropping trow in the middle of the sidewalk?
I have no
100%
problems about this.
I'd love to see this.
I just
in
got
action.
Through gluten free. Now I got to go through urine free bread. What the hell is this all about, guy?
I got no problem with this. If it's an issue, it's an issue. Put it there.
Ah.
I'm fine with it.
That's a cop out, guy.
Listen, can I say this?
That's a cop out. You just copped out.
Every single stairwell on a exterior or subterranean parking unit in Los Angeles
Santa Monica.
Needs
Newman's
one of these zone. On the first floor because you open the door and you're overwhelmed with urine.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And if you want to put one of those in the corner on the first floor, I got no problems with that.
Yeah.
Because what's the alternative?
Well, is it weird, as Brian mentioned, is it weird that it's not enclosed in any way?
No. I'm fine with it. Look, a couple things. it's going to take place in the wee hours of the night. This isn't high traffic time.
Right.
This isn't, well, I'm a busy commuter and I'm running late for work and I had too many coffees. No, this is drunken outside of the pub, walking home, not going to make it to the flat. Like, this is, it's nighttime action.
No, it's not. The nutty homeless people will be like, hey, I'm allowed to pee in front of everyone. Yeah, they'll see if they can do it from, you know, they'll start having another, hey, I could take a leak from 4 feet back, eh, guy?
Hey, guy.
Oh, I took one from 8 feet. I took one off the roof of the bus as it was passing by there, fella.
I want to say this.
Adam's a little more, Edward G. Robinson.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my
hey,
baby.
Where's where I want? You okay, see?
Pick my nose, see?
So.
Wait, what?
They pee all over the parking. As soon as you go into that stairwell, it smells of urine, right? Now, in my world, we're not going to talk crazy people out of urinating in stairwells.
Wherever, yeah.
It's impossible. So if we can't talk them out of it,
come on.
Then we need to put the kitty litter box there for them
it's
to whiz into.
It's going to be a competition. You ever see that game Cornhole where you throw the bean bags into the hole? Now people are going to be seeing how far they can stand. They'll be on the other side of the street. Watch me hit the cornhole there, guy.
And Harlan, you're also missing...
No.
Can I explain something that you're missing?
Yes, but then no.
Okay.
First, yes, and then I'm going to give you a no, no matter what you say.
You are
going to
turn the corner when I give you this
one. Okay.
Some of the greatest and most delightful video ever is the guy at Fenway going head first.
Wrigley.
Yep. But there's probably more than one around the stadium and doing the head first flume run all the way through the urinals.
It's awful.
And Gina, you've seen it. You've blocked it from your memory.
I must have. That's
we have seen it on this show before.
Yes, okay.
You've seen it.
Absolutely willed it out of my brain.
You willed it out of your brain.
Slip and slide through the trough.
It's like, I put it back into your
brain.
Thank
you so much.
Because it needs to be there with all the other ugly thoughts that you have on a daily basis.
I sure do.
All right. Now, Harlan, when you ask to have these things removed, you're also removing the fantastic bootleg videos of guys grabbing these things and putting them on the head of their drunken friend or some other guy bobbing for apples or shoving his head in there or another guy taking one and like chucking it out of sliding up the skylight, moon roof of a car and like chucking it onto another guy. There's going to be all kinds of crazy videos involving a guy's riding a moped and clipping one and getting his head stuck in there. You're going to miss out on all this material, Harlan. Is that what you want?
You could throw one in a freezer and make pissicles.
Oh, no, that's weird.
Come on.
Okay, I was going to give you a yes, but now you get a no because you blocked
me. Now Gina's going to watch the guy do the head first. I'm in love with this gentleman. He's going to run down. He's going to put his face, and he went head first all the way through. Head first all the way through. I'm in love with that guy.
That's
a hero.
Gina's mostly beer.
That man is a hero.
He's only renting it.
All right.
That's disgusting.
You know there's going to be great videos coming, right?
Yeah.
That gives me thick throat.
Ooh. So look forward to that, Harlan.
What?
Videos all the great videos you're going to see of those hay urinals getting shoved onto people's heads and
dumped.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to see that. Guys covered with Newman's Own Lemonade running around.
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
What about if you knew that money was going to charity? Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. They all rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology. It's physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, help fight friction, and deliver maximum levels of performance to your car three times,
fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right, one more, Gina Grant.
All right, let's see what we got here. Well, we'll stay on theme a little. The Bleacher Report says that if the Cleveland Browns manage to win a game during the 2018 regular season, Browns fans in Cleveland will get a chance to have a beer on Bud Light. So according to Cleveland.com's Mark Bona, this is how it's going to shake down. We're looking at a picture. Bud Light's Vice President of Marketing, Andy Gaylor, announced Tuesday that the company is placing victory refrigerators in strategic areas around Cleveland that will automatically open when the Browns win a game. 10 victory fridges, which are 8 feet tall, hold roughly 200 beers, will be dropped off. Yeah.
Brian.
What's up, buddy?
Harlan's Canadian, so not going to work. But
this is an indicator.
I was talking about this with Sheck on Good Sports. The Browns are named after Paul Brown.
Right.
But they made their uniforms brown. Yep. And if you ask anybody now why are they called the Browns, they go, well, look at their pants.
Yeah, exactly.
They're brown.
What else are you going to call them?
If I'm Paul Brown,
I'm doing any color but brown.
Right, because I want them to go, why is the team named the Browns? We had a great owner coach back in the 50s. He was a hero. He was a pioneer. His name is Paul Brown.
The titan of the league.
You want a way to get your name to go away for sure is to name. All right, it's pretty rare that your name, you know, you got White, you got, you know, Jack White, yeah. You got Brown,
Jack Black.
You got Jack Black, yeah. You got a guy's name Jack and Brown. So you have to, it's pretty rare that your name be a color, but if it does, and it is, and you got putting it on the side of a team, and you're not putting it should say Paul on the side of the guy's helmet, but it's just orange and brown, and the pants are brown. And now you've nullified the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just, they're the Browns.
It's an easy assumption.
They're the color brown. Why
worst.
Would you do that?
Get away from that.
Worst
get away
color.
From
one
it.
One color you don't want to do is brown.
It's not right. Even really a color. It's just, it's like the Eeyore of colors. Thanks for noticing me.
Yeah.
I'm brown.
Maudlin.
I'm not very colorful at all. I'm the same color as dead leaves and skid marks.
And what happens when you blow out a knee and you're down on the ground and some guy from the Bay Area Poop Patrol comes around with the scooper trying to get you off the field?
Yeah, you get hauled into the truck.
He doesn't know any better.
No.
He's just doing his job.
Well, you know who should sponsor the Browns is UPS because they've already
together.
Got the slogan, what has Brown done for you lately? You know, nothing. What has Brown done for you lately?
Not win.
Nothing. Horrible.
You get a free beer if they win.
Victory
free
bridges.
Beer.
Are you watching Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
What, who are they featuring?
The Browns.
They are. Okay, I haven't seen them.
Not a winning environment they're cultivating there.
Did we talk about it here that you have to volunteer, and if not, the NFL will pick one?
I'm sure there's some sort of coercion.
And it has to be like a struggling little engine that could team.
But just sometimes, yes, sometimes no. The Cowboys have done it twice.
Mm. Oh, they have?
Yeah,
oh, that's twice. Right.
I think the only team done it twice.
Yeah, they're usually not the upper tier.
Yeah.
Recently, not the upper tier teams, but a great show.
It's
what night
really
is it on?
Oh, great question. Sunday's Monday.
You just DVR it, I'm sure. So, yeah, why would you know?
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
If you put Brown and adopted any of the other team names and just put Brown in front, it would work. Like Brown Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Brown Patriots.
Brown Broncos.
Brown Broncos. Anything. Like anything. Just put Brown something. Just Brown on its own is like, I want to roll off a cliff and land on a fat kid.
I had a 1780s guy, I think, had a Patriots one. Slightly racist. You can look for that. If
speaking of fat kids, I went out. Have you ever gone out with a hefty girl, like a plus size?
A little bit, not really.
I had a bit of an odd experience. I went out with she was beautiful, plus size girl. But have you ever heard of this thing, the muffin top?
Mm-hmm.
She had a muffin top on her forehead.
Wasn't usually it's down
around I had to lift it up to stare in her eyes and be romantic.
So it was literally a muffin top
on her forehead. Yeah, stretch marks on the sides of her mouth. Loved to eat. Unbelievable.
She really was an eater. This one.
Well, I told you at the beginning of the bit she was plus size, and maybe you missed that.
No, I got it. That's right. That's where I get some muffin top.
It's a bit of a thrill. Yeah.
She sat around the house. Huh?
Come on. They're not that bad, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had a seafood diet. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. The international Jew, the world's problem. Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Support for Corolla Classics comes from Manscaped, number one in men's below-the-belt grooming, precision-engineered tools for the family jewels. See what I did there? I made a little Nipsey Russell-esque rhyme. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Do not worry about chipping those very precious stones you have down there. And you don't want to use the same buzzer you use to shape your goatee or your sideburns. Down below, have a separate tool for that. Manscaped redesigned the electric trimmer, so it's a lot safer, a lot faster, and a lot easier. And it has a proprietary skin-safe technology. Won't nick or snag the nuts, so don't use the trimmer use on your face down there. Get Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CLASSICS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping using the code CLASSICS at manscaped.com.
And that was Caramel Corn the Pug, a.k.a. Harlan Williams.
What was the reaction behind the stage? You told like the beginning part of it, the intro, but what... How to go over?
Oh, when it was happening, we were laughing. We thought it was just so funny that he wanted to try this. Like, what are you doing? This is an audio podcast. He really stayed in a character. Adam infamously is great interviewing people as characters. We've played the Jack in the Box clip before.
It's weird. Some fans think he doesn't like it because some of those early ones went short. But I think it was more based on the person he's improvising with, having a limited vocabulary when it comes to improv, as opposed to him not liking character pieces. I love it when he interviews a character.
Me too. We got to play some Representative Richard Martin coming up too. That'd be fun.
That'd be a really good idea if fits him in for this holiday break.
Yeah. All right, let's get going with some more clips. Before we do, though, I want to thank Billy for requesting that. And if you want to request a clip, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Find us on Twitter, on Instagram, @GiovanniGiorgio. My Instagram is ChrisLoxamano1. And we're also on Facebook, wherever you can find us. And let us know what you want to hear. Now, this next clip features David Wild, our coyote, as you called him.
In-house elusive musician Coyote, yeah.
Yeah, and he brought in Jacob Dylan from The Wallflowers.
One of the most elusive.
Yes, and also Bob Dylan's son. And
he loves you mentioning that.
They came in 2012.
2012 was really the year David Wild brought in the biggest prime targets that you just cannot believe showed up on any podcast.
The Heat.
Let alone not a music podcast.
Yeah.
And Jacob Dylan happens to be one of them. He comes on the studio. I don't know if he had one or two headlights on his truck that day. It's Adam Carolla Show 881. It's from July of 2012. Full interview and the news.
With Jacob Dylan and David Wild, Glad All Over, the name of the album. The Return of the Wallflowers is out October 12th, and Reboot the Mission is what we just heard a little bit of with Mick Jones from, of course, The Clash. Good to see you, David Wild, and good to see you, Jacob Dylan.
It's good to see you.
Good day, sir.
Good day. So you guys brought some songs. Jacob and I, we'd never met, but we just found out we're practically neighbors, which is kind of fun. Jacob, let's talk Wallflowers. So, Wallflowers, were they ever broken up, or do you have to be broken up to get back together, or can you get back together and not be broken up?
Well, that's what we did. We just took a long break,
right?
So then it just became 7 years.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to do that.
It is easy to do that. Time just kept piling up, and we all did different things. And then when we started talking about getting together, everybody had a year or two worth of commitments to finish up.
Mm-hmm. And so now Wallflowers back together, tour, new album, the whole
yep, the whole thing. Yep.
And so where did you grow up?
Out here, California.
And I know your dad's Bob Dylan, but I don't know anything about your story other than your dad's Bob Dylan and you're the Wallflowers.
That's really all there is.
How's your dad with your music? Is he generous or is he a pain in the ass like a lot of dads are when they do the same thing? I mean, does he give you a lot of compliments, or does he give you, it's okay for a first try? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, honestly, I never really, you know, I'll get feedback here and there if it pops up, but I never really asked for it too much. I got a few clues on how to do what I do, but the feedback was never too necessary, just because that's kind of the nature of generations anyway.
Yeah. You know,
you're kind of doing your own thing anyhow.
Yeah, although I feel it's different. I know you have kids. I have kids, too. Now... I grew up around, you know, I talk to people, it's like my dad never hugged me. He shook my hand when I graduated high school. He never said he loved me. He never said like anything like those guys. And then there's us, and like I'm all over my son. I mean, I'm hugging him all the time and kissing him and telling him how great everything is. Like, I don't know how you grew up. David, I don't know how you grew up. Was your dad smothering
barely,
you with
barely grew
hugs
up.
And kisses and all that stuff?
Yeah, my dad never met his own dad, and yet he was really great, loving,
oh, he was.
Cool dad. Very, very into whatever I was into and, like, let me.
And affectionate.
Yeah, very affectionate.
Mm-hmm. Was your dad affectionate with you, Jacob?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know why anybody would think otherwise.
No, I just mean not in a bad way, but there's just a lot of dads from back in the day did not think that they should be that way with their boy. You know what I mean?
That's no, like, that's it wasn't mom's like job. That at all. No, if you would all think me sitting here, and David, I've known you a long time, like almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty, you'd probably have to say I'm a pretty regular kind of person, right?
No, one of the most regular guys. And no, in fact, I realized recently, I was thinking when we met, and I think it was doing a story when the Wallflowers were starting out. They even as they were sort of coming together, you were these jams at Cantor's Deli called at the Kibitz Room, right? Mm-hmm. The bar in Cantor's Deli. And I was sent by Rolling Stone, or I think I pitched Rolling Stone, I want to cover this. And it was sort of I caught the end of the scene and I think ended the scene by writing about it.
That's
in Rolling
usually
Stone.
What happens. Yeah.
But because everyone caught on.
Yeah. But I think the headline was The Last Schmaltz, which I think was the best headline. It's all downhill in my career in journalism. No, Jacob's one of the most normal guys and, you know, writes like a tortured artist, yet never struck me
well, or maybe being a normal guy is what I'm good at presenting. But the point I was going to make was, at least if I'm not a disaster, then what you asked previously would probably have to be mostly true, that it was more – I wouldn't want to say it was more of a regular upbringing, because certainly it wasn't regular by any stretch. But, you know, I think I'm a pretty decent person. I wouldn't have to attribute a lot to that, to parents.
And when did you form the Wallflowers? And was it always something you were going to do, music? Or were there other things you wanted to do earlier on that you didn't or maybe did do?
I started working on it in 1988, 89, right out of high school. Mm-hmm. And so, I did. I went to art school for about three months in New York. Because I was really curious and I was really hoping that would be more interesting to me than playing music, but it turned out not to be.
Mm-hmm. And did your dad try to talk you out of it or not?
Going to the music business?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I feel they do this. I think boxers do the same thing with their kids.
Well, and it had nothing to do with playing music. That was always encouraged. But
right, it was just the business part.
Yeah, the music business is lousy.
But the weird thing I was thinking recently, this new single, which we should hear more of, called Reboot the Mission with Mick Jones, the first conversation I ever had with you, I think your band, the band that really inspired you to make music, was The Clash, wasn't it?
It was one of them, sure, growing up.
I think most businesses inherently suck, and most people who know the ins and outs of any business will tell their kid that, like, that's a shitty business to be in.
Well, yeah, and if you think about me being 18,
right,
you're talking at that point, you'd already been making records for over 30 years.
Right. When did the Wallflowers, hit early 90s, mid-90s?
Yeah.
You were what age?
25 or so, six.
So very relatively young. And then huge. And then what? How'd that feel? Or how did you react to it? Was it overwhelming? Was it cool? Did you have fun with it, or did it make you want to retreat?
Oh, I think it's cool. I think anybody would spend. I mean, it's confusing, but I appreciated every moment of it. And, you know, that's what I always thought. Groups could be big and great at the same time. There was a point somewhere where it seems like you could be one or the other. But the Beatles were great and they were big, so I thought it was nothing but a good thing.
Yeah. I think it can be both. I've found, actually, it's easy to say that about, like, it's funny because my kids, I have 6-year-old twins. Actually, the boy objected, which was kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But the Justin Bieber, they'd gotten the Justin Bieber off of the iTunes or whatever, the whatever. And my wife was watching, her friend was watching it, and you were sitting there, and my daughter was going nuts, even though she's six.
She's a real believer.
My son did the full boycott. Like, he was up in, he was in another room doing, like, watching Gymkhana or something.
It's just a waste of my time.
Doing, like, Tai Chi or something, which I was just sort of proud of. But then, you know, you make fun of Justin Bieber. You go, oh, please, please, this bubblegum bullshit. And then you go watch the thing, and you go, oh, no, the guy's a talented kid. Like, he's playing the drums when he's 5 years old. And you realize there's, you know, every once, I mean, there is the Spice Girls and all that, kind of Menudo and that kind of shit, but most...
Awesome bands.
Yeah, no, I'm using them as negative examples.
Oh, what? Yeah.
What I'm saying, like...
This is really awkward, Adam, because I don't think Jacob wants to say it, but his new album is heavily influenced by Menudo.
And the Spice Girls.
It's going to be a series of Latin teens that we will throw out.
I'm saying usually when you get behind it, I mean, when you scratch the lottery ticket a little bit, you realize, oh, no, there is some talent there. Otherwise, we wouldn't know who the guy was. If Justin Bieber wasn't talented, we wouldn't know the name.
You know, I haven't seen... You're talking about the movie specifically? Is that what you watched? I haven't seen that.
I'm not a fan of his, but you watch the thing and you go, okay, he's singing, he's dancing, he's playing the piano, he's playing the drums, and he's not...
I haven't seen the movie or heard much of the music, but I wouldn't... I have no issue with it. It's probably really good. It hasn't hit my household, but...
Oh, you haven't? No. What do you have? You have four kids?
Yeah, but that somehow we kind of dodged that one. Well, I don't have girls for start.
Oh, so. Oh well, then that's easy. That's
how old are your kids?
They're four... it feels like a quiz. 4, 11.
Just add them all.
4, 11,
and then
14.
Just gives one number.
He's the Antonio Cromartie of music.
I got it. It's 4, 11, 14, and 18.
And all boys?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it all kind of depends, but having a boy, ironically, I'll say it could just be my boy. I don't know what your boys are like, David, but my boy's like sort of owning a cat versus owning a puppy, which is the girl.
Right.
Which is the puppy's fun and cute and all that kind of stuff, but that's a job. You can't just throw out some food and leave. You know what I mean? Like that's work. That is work. And the boy is no work. The boy's just playing with his. He's got his Legos. He buries his shit in the backyard. It's no problem. So leave that water bowl out. We got to make sure the coyotes don't get him. You bring him in at night, especially if you're up in the hills. But the boy just takes care of himself. He really doesn't need you. He's fine.
Yeah, I have to say, every time I'm around a family of girls, I come home and I'm thankful because it's so – and I was never one of those guys, I want sons because, you know, look at me. I didn't want to continue this lineage particularly.
Sure. Plus, you didn't want to get your ass kicked when he turned 9.
Yeah, exactly. But my kids are relatively easy. They're, you know, the only worrying thing is – I got it. The only worrying thing was that they are fans of yours. As you know.
That's trouble.
That's a sign of some sort of early onset of issues.
Yeah. That's a marker.
Yeah, the boys – I don't know. The boys – and now the boys can be trouble – if they have the stunt gene, but if they don't have the stunt gene, they're fine. Like my son's a puss. He doesn't go for the zip lines, and he doesn't want to get on the trampoline, and he doesn't. Which means because if they have the stunt gene, later on they get their learner's permit, and then they get in the car, and then they're doing donuts at the Whole Foods down at the end of the bluff there. But if they but if they don't have the stunt gene, then you don't have to worry about that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Either one of your kids have the. Any of your boys have like that stunt gene where they're like going, we want to jump off the roof into the pool like that?
No.
They don't have that.
Mine are Jewish children.
Oh, yeah. Right. Forgot.
So funny how that works, but no.
Forgot, yes. Jacob, any of the boys have the stunt gene?
Yeah, I think we all do.
Oh, you all do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, once they get their learner's permit, that's the problem. You have the stunt gene?
Well, I lost the stunt gene.
Right, but you used to have it.
Yeah, I think so.
It's usually the marker for the stunt gene is jumping off of shit into bodies of water.
Right.
Like when you'll sit around and you'll be in someone's backyard and then you'll look up and you'll see like the balcony of the master bedroom upstairs. Then you'll go, hey man, there's only like 8 feet of a patio. You could clear that. And if you got to jump toward the deep end, but you can clear it. Like you look and then you end up jumping into pools off of apartment buildings, off of the Mulholland Club, off of. That's your favorite place, right?
Oh, yeah. No, that was when my wife and I, who were celebrating our anniversary by coming to the Adam Carolla Show, when we went to see you live.
Apologize,
Adam. You're celebrating.
It's quite done. No, but when we saw you live the first time at the Improv, I guess it was, you told that story and we felt like validated our existence. We had no idea that you had done crime at our hangout.
We broke into that Mulholland Club many, many a time. All right, so we have our songs. Jacob Dylan's got his song. David's got his song. I agonized over my song because I felt like I was going to be judged by you two. But I arrived.
Well, remember, I'm a fan. He's a critic. So you're going to please one of us.
All right, so should we start with Jacob? You have a song that you brought in that you enjoy?
I did. We discussed this is ZZ Top. This is ZZ Top. My mind is gone from Rhythmine from, I believe it's 1994.
Now, why ZZ Top?
I just think they're one of the best. And this record doesn't get talked about too much for unknown reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But what an inspiring group, though. We listen to this record a lot making our new record.
Good guys and...
And they, great beards.
Great beards, and they're all crazy car guys.
Oh.
They come in here and bring their cars sometimes. Top must be going on year 40, right? Of being together as a band?
It's like 60...
Late 60s, yeah.
7 or 8, yeah.
That was Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar player, so...
I mean, they're over 40 years of being, like, playing. Like,
yeah.
They've never taken 10 years off or 5 years off. They formed in 69.
And they're...
Wait, what year?
69? Thank you.
No, I interviewed them for a documentary for VH1 or something a couple of years ago, and they are like a couple that, a three-way couple that's been married forever. They
got their start playing at Cantor's, a lot of, oh no, different band.
No, but they're amazing, and they're still at it. Didn't they just do a record with Rick Rubin that they put a few tracks on?
I don't think that's finished, but I heard rumor of that.
What happens when those mighty beards collide? You know what I mean? When Rick Rubin and the crazy beard and sunglasses come. And by the way, there must be confusion where someone, the engineer walks in. It's like, hey, we're recording the... And I'm Rick Rubin. I'm not... No, you're in the band. Rick Rubin, who I've seen, who looks like he's wearing a fake beard and that are attached to his glasses. When your beard looks like it comes off with your sunglasses, that's a bad sign. That's got to be a sunglass and beard just extravaganza when Rick Rubin gets together.
It was years
in
the making
of
those two coming together.
Yeah.
So
name of the album, name of the song, one last time, Jacob, please. So everyone,
that was me. That was what we just heard.
Yeah.
That was ZZ Top. My mind is gone from Rhythmine.
And
Billy Gibbons, I know you know Billy, you're
I've
talking
met,
Billy.
Yeah.
Billy Gibbons is like the greatest. He's one of those guys who obviously admired the old dudes and then became one, like lives a life. Like I tried to interview him for something for Rolling Stone years ago, and he was not on tour, yet he was always staying at a different like Super 8 motel in some small town.
Was he in Orange County?
He has never gotten off the road.
Because I used to always hear of Billy Gibbons sightings in Orange County, I think.
These were all like sort of Texas and around the South.
All right. David, you have a song. I'm going to throw an audible at Bald Brian and tell him to find one, but I got to write it down. Audible. All right. Go ahead. You see if you can find it.
My song, I struggled 15 different choices this week, over the week, thinking what I should play. And then... because my wife agreed to come in for the first time and it's our anniversary, I thought of a guy who's one of my favorite artists who actually sang at our wedding. But he's – a lot of people know the Eels.
Yes.
Mark – the guy from the Eels. But Mark, this was his solo career. This is the second record he made called Broken Toy Shop, just under the name E.
Mm-hmm.
The first one had a hit called Hello, Cruel World.
I remember the Eels that came in on Loveline a time or two back in the day, I think.
Oh, no, and really great, great artist. This is a song from the second record, and it's called Shine It All On. And I love this song, and this was what I was in the mood for today.
How's that a tribute to your wife?
Oh, he sang at our wedding. He was one of my groomsmen. He's a old friend who I haven't talked to in years, but this is always been one of my favorite songs of all time.
Now, he sung at your wedding during the time he was supposed to sing, right? Because
yeah,
he did it any other time. It's just the world's rudest wedding guest.
Yeah, Jacob said no, so I asked him to sing. I asked him to sing In My Life by John Lennon at the wedding, and then he surprised us by doing...
Only Women Bleed?
Mrs. He said, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Wow.
But with my wife's maiden name in there. So it was Mrs.
Mankiewicz.
Turk.
Oh, exactly. Oh, she put Turk in there.
Yeah, Mrs. Turk has got a lovely daughter.
Is that Herman's Hermits?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a great song.
It is a very good song. It's a good pop song.
Really great song.
David, right, do you want a chair? I just noticed you didn't get a chair.
No, no, I don't like a chair. I feel
what
taller.
Are you doing? Oh, you are. Oh, sorry. I thought you had a stool or a chair. So now this is not the Eels. This is E.
This was pre-Eels. He did this in like 93. And then he got dropped by his label. Mm-hmm. And that next year, his best gig was My Wedding. Mm-hmm. And we didn't pay, but we provided a beef or fish entree.
Sure.
And then he reinvented himself as the Eels. And huge in England, had a lot of. Do you know E at all?
Yeah, I do.
They were big enough out here that they were getting some spins on K Rock, and I think, and I think came in and did Loveline that kind of stuff back in 99, 2000, or I can't even remember anymore.
But this is, we call it classic E before the Eels. Also great stuff.
Sounds great. And so this is what year and what album one more time?
I think this is 93, and it's from an album called E, Broken Toy Shop.
And again, we'll have all these links on our website. You can go to our website and click through Amazon and find it all on the Amazon. And if you want to purchase it, we'll give you the link.
Yeah, I would say get Reboot the Mission first, which can you buy it now or you can...
I think you might be able to, or else it's still free.
We'll put a link.
Get a free download.
I think you could get a free download
at wallflowers.com.
Ah, there you go.
That's what I'm supposed to know and say.
Yes. And you can probably pre-order. You can pre-order as well.
I think you can.
All right. My selection, I changed. I threw an audible at Bald Brian, and we'll see if he can. We'll see if he can.
I had to check my wristband.
It was sort of based on your ZZ Top, because it was. I got down to a final two, and I went with something from the Pretenders from their Isle of View acoustic sort of thing from like 1994 that I really liked a lot, but then I felt like a puss, so I picked my second song, which was Leonard Skinner's song. And I love Leonard Skinner because everyone just thinks of him as sort of like country rock, except for they had a swing to him. And this is one of those songs that they don't do anymore, sung by two guys. And then the other guy sings this part. And it's a good life lesson, which this part.
You got that right.
Yes. And I like the part where it comes to a fix. He's not afraid to fight. But I'll say this about Leonard Skinner. They have a lot of range because they have a song called You Got That Right where they talk about if it comes to a fix, not afraid to fight. And then they've got another song called Give Me Three Steps, which is I don't want to get in a fight. I'm leaving this bar.
The yin and the yang.
Yes. And lots of rambling in this song.
In the other song, the guy was big.
Yeah, so that's right.
Portended him walking away.
I'm going to say it again. If you guys like ZZ Top and this kind of guitar, check out Drunk Horse from Oakland. I mentioned
them.
Yeah, last time. People tweeted that they...
Drunk Horse?
Drunk Horse, yeah. They used to be on Man's Ruin, and I think they released stuff on TV now. But yeah, people tweeted me that they checked them out and they loved them, so...
It's also when the one guy's singing, the other guy's in the back going, uh-huh, mm-hmm. And then there's, I think, even a grunt like he's in Molly Hatchet or something. Got that
right. You recorded your new album in Nashville. Did you run into a lot of Southern rock down there?
I don't think we saw too many people. We kind of worked at a studio that doesn't have, it was just a one studio complex.
I loved Leonard Skinner. I love the Allman Brothers as well, but live, there's like a DVD that came out a couple years ago of them opening for The Who in England. And
wow.
And they are the most, they famously, I guess, blew The Who off the stage, and Who were one of my favorite bands, but they just had a certain badass, they looked legitimately scary. And, I only met them in their later years where they're not scary, but I think they were.
You met the Rosington Collins version of Leonard Skinner. Yeah.
Well, there's also Oak Tree out of my way.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, he says, it's just one of those songs where it's like, you're not going to find me in an old folks' home, and you're going to fight, and he likes to drink and dance, and like I said, a lot of range.
You know, I'm if they're still playing, I mean, I don't know who's, just Rossington is still probably there.
I think it's only Rossington, but then they get back guys who quit early on. Like, I think there's a guy.
And Johnny Van Zant has been there.
Singing for his brother.
For like 30 years
and
now.
And he really does a good job, I have to say.
But it's not a new thing anymore. He's been doing it since
he's doing it a lot longer than Ronnie ever did.
No, it's weird. It's kind of like at a certain point when Jay Leno has been on longer than Johnny Carson. It's weird. And by the way, it's a marker for us all being old. Because it's weird when the backup guy has been around longer than the original. All right, Jacob Dylan in studio, and yes,
awesome
David.
To play real quick. Jacob, do you like Billy Joel?
Sure. What do you want this?
Oh, it's David Wilde's song.
Yeah, we're sitting here with David Wilde.
Oh, nice.
Not much taller than a 10-year-old child. Not the best looking guy in the place. Gallagher's hair, DeVito's face, makes his pages for the Rolling Stone.
The wife's delighted.
A brilliant writer, the evidence shows.
David, did you write this?
Writing books is also part of his game.
In a way.
You hear a loud thud, he's just dropping names. Yeah, we're sitting here with David Wilde.
Yeah. All right, we got a little...
It's Billy Joel's best work in years.
We got some news to do. Jacob and David will sit in for that. First, a quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, eVoice. You get it all on eVoice. Oh, so professional. Yeah, Jacob, you have people that can handle this, but for guys like Bald Brian over there who attempt to be professional but have to do it on a budget, they got eVoice. Awesome. For the business person on the move. Yes, Brian.
Obviously, I can't afford someone to answer the phone, a department to handle complaints, serious complaints, angry complaints,
sexual,
all sorts.
Ones of sexual nature.
You get
that's
the idea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They can handle all that. They have a little phone tree for you, and it goes to the
calls
right
are screened automatically. They can answer urgent calls now and get to the rest later. Let them go to voicemail. They can also transcribe those voicemails into emails and text. And they'll do custom greetings and menus and more. It is, it's the mobile phone. It's your mobile phone at work. And you can try it out for 6 months free. That's right. eVoice. 6 months free. eVoice.com/Adam. 6 months free, but only if you drop my name. eVoice. www.evoice.com/Adam. eVoice, baby. All right, Allison, let's do a little news, shall we? Mm-hmm.
The News with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison, Allison.
So James Holmes has been charged with 24 counts of first-degree murder. It's the Colorado shooter, for anyone who doesn't know him by name. 116 counts of attempted murder, one count of possession of an explosive device, and one count of a sentence enhancer for a crime of violence. And the maximum punishment is death, and the minimum sentence is life in prison without parole.
Did you say sentence enhancer?
Yes. I don't
know
what that is.
That sounds like a perfume, like a cologne.
It
or
sounds like Viagra for your sentence.
Something Ron Jeremy might sponsor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Hedgehog.
That's right.
See, I do know his nickname.
Sentence enhancer. All right. All right, so he's nuts. But then he's not nuts because he's smart and he planned all this shit out. We always talk about this because
can't
on one hand, well, we decide you're nuts we define by our definition. Like anyone who shoots another human being indiscriminately, you know, when the bitch is asking for it, that's a different situation. Mm. I'll be straight with you. But when you're just shooting strangers in a movie, then we decide you're nuts. But on the other hand, you're probably better at calculus than we are. And you're able to rig your apartment and order a bunch of stuff online. I can't even order shit online. I'll fuck it up. It'll go to the wrong place. I mean, he's nuts in this department, but does that make you nuts overall? And then
well, that's the question. I mean, I think that whether if he can use insanity as a defense, that means that he doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't know what he did. And people are saying that he's acting insane in prison. He's spitting. He's saying, why am I here?
But isn't everyone who kills somebody nuts, you know, like according to us? Like, I mean, you know, I understand the
legally.
You raped my mother and now you're going to I'm getting revenge. But then just the people that kill people. They're all nuts.
It's a crazy
or another,
act.
Right?
I think as a society, the only kind of murder that we have sanctioned is self-defense. Well, that's not a crazy act, but any other murder is considered crazy.
And arson, when there's not insurance to be collected, you know,
yeah, that's just careless
shit burn. That's nuts. I mean, there's a lot of nuts out there.
He evidently was seen a psychiatrist. That package that he sent to the university was addressed to her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then that's why, you know, why there's a gag order on it is because it's privileged, because it's doctor-patient.
Yeah.
That's the most amazing part of this. This story, it's so horrible. It doesn't engage me. You know, it's like I'm very much a news viewer, but this story just turns me off. But I will say the fact that the mailroom apparently didn't deliver this package to the psychiatrist for a week, 10 days, that is going to go down in history as the worst mailroom error of
was
all
it
time.
Not,
literally,
was it not his psychiatrist, though?
It was. It was a professor and psychiatrist at the school who he wrote and apparently gave all the plans out to, and then it never got to them.
Oh, so he could have gotten it and thwarted this? Is that what we're saying?
He sent it. Holmes sent it before the shooting. So, yeah, the implication. I don't know. People haven't exactly said this. Yes, before the shooting.
No, I know.
Had this been found, potentially,
I know
yes.
It's before. I mean, it has to be before, unless the cops
let him run to the mailbox from last time.
You can see it from my cell, so just watch. No, I don't know. He sent it before, but 2 days before, but 2 weeks before, that's an issue, right? So the question is if it's sent 2 days, 3 days before, and it's snail mail, that's one thing. But if it's sent 10 days or 2 weeks or something, then we got a little bit of an issue.
I'd heard it was 2 weeks, but I also heard that it was not to his psychiatrist.
All right, well, we'll...
But you're probably right.
We'll keep
I know it was the psychiatrist. I don't know the timing, but I know that my understanding is that had they intercepted it, had the mailroom been on top of their shit and it had gotten to the right person, this potentially could have been
so
prevented.
The implication is that they got it before this.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And I'll tell you, the school, what I heard today, and this is based on no actual journalism, which is my tradition as a journalist, but that what I had heard was the school was investigating how this information about the package was getting out because, I mean, put this together in Penn State. It's like these are situations where if the school did something wrong and could be held, everyone's going to sue everybody eventually.
Right.
And like we could put colleges out of business. Like Penn State and this school could be put out of business by the amount of litigation that's going to be coming their way.
Yeah. All I saw was the one guy in the hospital that forgave him. And there's always that guy, the Jesus freak, who's in bed, you know, and the doctor said they got the bullet's too close to your spine, so we're going to leave it. Again, that to me, laziest doctors on the planet, when we're going to leave a bullet in you. Although it's an awesome conversation piece, like I kind of want a bullet in me. I'm thinking about putting one up my ass just to have a discussion, you know? Like if I had a bullet in me that the doctors decided to leave, because every once in a while they will decide to leave that bullet, I would bring that up at every single party I went to. Guess who's got a bullet in?
If you were single, I wonder if you could use that to get dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the one ball thing.
How about I put a round in you, sister?
I guess you couldn't.
It's .22 caliber, but it's got some pop. All right. What's next? This guy's depressing me.
Okay. Jacob Dylan's dad is tangentially in the news today because it turns out a writer from New Yorker magazine, Jonah Lehrer, resigned.
Hold on. Your dad's Huey Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep going.
Resigned because it came out that some Bob Dylan quotes or quotes attributed to Bob Dylan in a book he had written that Jonah Lehrer had written called Imagine were fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
He made up these quotes. And here is a statement from Lehrer. The quotes in question, 3 weeks ago I received an email from journalist Michael Moynihan asking about Bob Dylan quotes in my book, Imagine. The quotes in question either did not exist, were unintentional misquotations, or represented improper combinations of previously existing quotes. But I told Mr. Moynihan that they were from archival interview footage provided to me by Dylan's representatives. This was a lie spoken in a moment of panic.
Wow, it's almost Oprah-esque.
And then he went on to say, the lies are over now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me again and again, journalism has gone so in the crapper like as opposed to the music industry, which you, as Jacob knows, has never been stronger. But journalism, like when I was – I'm not that old. Like when I was – and I'm still tangentially a journalist, although I mainly write for TV. But in the old days, you could write whatever you wanted. There was no way for anyone to criticize you except write a letter and mail it,
right.
Like a letter to the editor saying, I don't like this. But now, you know, journalism, the standards have gone to hell. But the accountability is so amazing because anything you publish, within moments, there's, you know, a million people who can immediately notice.
It's scrutinized.
But in our day, I'm putting myself in your day.
Back in the 40s.
Right. In the 1840s.
Right.
Yeah. When I was on the prairie, there were fact checkers.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's gone. I mean, at Rolling Stone, still have robust fact checking. But everywhere else, there's not that much of it.
I hadn't actually heard this before. What magazine was it?
The New Yorker.
Oh. Well, he wrote for the New Yorker, but the misquotes or the fabricated quotes were in his book, Imagine.
What was puzzling about that, I don't know who would have contested it, because they've written plenty of books about him that are totally misguided with misquotes and lies. I don't really know.
Well, this guy, Michael Moynihan, who's a journalist, wrote a piece about it in the online magazine Tablet.
Well, do you think – here's what – I have two thoughts on this. One is – I used to just believe anything I read in the newspaper because I figured it's in the newspaper and that's the story. Like, that's it. That's what I believed. And then when there started being articles about me, good and bad, you'd read half of it and it was just wrong. I mean, even the stuff that wasn't slamming you was just factually incorrect. And then sometimes my name would be spelled two different ways in the same article. And then I thought, was it always that way? Like, if back in the day somebody read an article about themselves, I'm sure they'd still find a whole bunch of stuff that was screwed up. And they get it out of order and they get the wrong sequence and all that kind of stuff.
The horrible thing that's changed in journalism is, like, when I started out, like, and it's not that many years ago. So what year did the second album come out? Like,
96?
Even back then, like, you know, I've lost my point entirely.
Back in 96.
That was good.
Was it going to be about fact checking?
Even back then, no, I've lost my point entirely.
All right. Listen,
it'll come back to you.
Well,
David.
I have separate point then, and mine's about fact checking again, which is that when I used to write, when I was working at magazines where they had fact checking, they would sit there and they would look up everything and they would make sure the chronology was right. And the stuff you're talking about wouldn't, if everything was going right, the stuff you're talking about where the narrative was messed up or the names are spelled wrong, that would not have happened.
Yeah, that's, yes. I'm sorry. My point was that in the old days, if I wrote a piece about Jacob, which I did, you would be rewarded for writing a good piece. But we're living in a world where you are only rewarded and you only get noticed for writing something got you, like this guy got nailed today,
right.
Something negative, something humiliating to someone. There is no, like, I was sort of known, and I don't even know if Jacob would be aware of this, but like, I think with Rolling Stone, I was one of the sort of nice writers, which Cameron Crowe had been in earlier. Like, I knew a lot of artists, got along with a lot of artists, and obviously – and genuinely respect artists. But that kind of journalism is over.
What's ironic is we're talking about the one artist that would like to be misrepresented with total confusion and inaccuracies. And the further from the truth, the better. So why that guy got caught, I have no idea.
All right. Where does Dad live? Is he back east?
Sometimes.
Is he out here sometimes?
Yeah, mostly out here.
Oh, really? Did not know that.
Maybe you'll see him in the boo. That's what I like to call it. Jacob, do you like to be represented correctly in articles?
Well, you know, sometimes when it's true, it stings more than when it's not.
You
know,
yeah.
You know, that's sometimes when it's further off the mark, you'd just rather have more of that than actually well-known or, you know, things that you care about talked about.
Are you talking about a review or a critique or?
Just personal critiques, I guess, or facts about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always said I'd rather, and I've had many, -4-star reviews are much better than 1.5 stars.
Well, it just depends, too, how the – David, as you say, you probably never gave many 1- or 2-star reviews in your time.
Oh, I actually – when I was a record review editor of Rolling Stone, I would do this thing where we actually had the columns. And if the column came up short, I would fill in and I would just destroy somebody. I'm not always that nice. So I would do – I mean, if you
some
go through –
some records are really bad and they can be thoughtfully taken apart and dismantled, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's one paragraph on Dennis DeYoung's third solo album, for instance. You know,
yeah.
I remember that one being.
Is he from Styx?
Yes, he was. He was Styx.
That's a mega reunion waiting right there. That and Journey, they can all still do it.
All I remember is I think seeing a behind the music thing with
Styx. That's one of the greatest behind the musics of all time.
Yes.
At the festival?
Yes.
It's a
and
great one.
They're
acting out Mr. Roboto or something.
And like everyone is saying that's a fucking hostile crowd, and some band like ZZ Top just got off the stage and they're like, look, we're going out there and we're playing the hits. We're playing the rock and roll hits. And he's like, no. We're doing this conceptual
Mr. Roboto
rock opera thing, and it's like not in front of the festival crowd that just got done watching ZZ Top.
And then minute skit.
We're doing a skit.
Here's how weird.
Now get in your tinfoil outfit and get out in front of those drunken Texans. And I just remember it's out of a movie.
The guy who played today, one day called me over to his house and said, I want to show you something. Like it was a porn snuff movie or something. And he pulled out a full live recording of the Mr. Roboto tour, which is it is a rock and roll snuff film. You have to see it. It is unbelievable.
I'm dying to.
A viciously xenophobic concept album.
Really?
Brilliant. Anti-Japanese.
You got it on his attention.
Album. Oh, that exactly. Right up your alley.
Wow. Now I'm going to check it out.
We are overdue in talking about all the craziness swirling around Chick-fil-A. As you probably know, Chick-fil-A makes delicious chicken, but also
great play-by-play man for the Warriors for all those years through the 70s, too.
But
still
also
hear his voice right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is very religious.
Put him in the deep fryer. So I think his catchphrase. Go ahead.
They're not open on Sunday, and they're opposed to gay marriage. And the company president spoke to the Baptist Press a couple weeks ago and talked about how their family company here. He said, "We are very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. We are a family-owned business, a family-led business, and we are married to our first wives. We give God thanks for that."
Mm-hmm.
So lucky ladies. So anyway, so now a lot of people are boycotting Chick-fil-A. And the mayors of Boston and Chicago have said they will make it difficult for Chick-fil-A to open up in those towns.
They're fucking insane. That's illegal. You can't do that.
Well, then Bloomberg came out and said that's not government's role.
Of course it's not the government's role. It's our role not to go to Chick-fil-A. It's not their job to have slow down the permit process. Are they fucking nuts?
Jim Henson's company, Muppets, split with Chick-fil-A because there used to be Muppet toys in the kids' meals, but they...
I knew Jim Henson well, and he hated gays. But continue. Continue.
Yes. And then Sarah Palin. So here's the thing, though, is that Chick-fil-A, I feel like, now has become code for where you stand on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Palin tweeted a photo of herself at a Chick-fil-A saying she was stopping in to, quote, support a great business.
I didn't know. There's no Chick-fil-A's out here.
There is one in
Sunset,
Hollywood. I drove by the other day and I was looking at it and it was pretty crowded. And I was thinking, aren't they listening to my news that I haven't said yet?
There's a couple things. They should have known something was coming.
They should have.
Yeah, there's something in the air.
And that's game day food.
There's a couple things. First off, it's like talking people out of cocaine. You know, you can tell them what it's doing to their brain and how bad it is for them, or what they're the money's going to the drug cartels, and then they take the drug, and then they fucking they make prostitutes out of 8-year-old girls, and then
not
they put their dads, and they're like, give me another bump. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like In-N-Out Burgers. They're run by religious. I don't know if they're zealots, but they're a very religious family. In-N-Out Burger never stopped. I'm an atheist. Doesn't care. Doesn't. It's all pushed aside when I get hungry and I want one of those In-N-Out Burgers. So that's number one. Number two, I think these things end up being being more business because more people you get. It's not like. You get your nut jobs like Sarah.
Even homophobes like chicken.
Yeah, you get Sarah Palin going over there. But also, just in general, you get a nationwide, nonstop, all-day, multi-day commercial for Chick-fil-A. Like, whether you're saying it's good or it's bad or whatever side of the argument you're on, it's Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A. And eventually, I've never even... I had Chick-fil-A once. Jimmy did a real powerhouse move, by the way. You want to know when you've arrived? He brought Chick-fil-A in from Arizona for Cousin Sal, his Cousin Sal's 30th birthday, which was at my party house in Sherman Oaks, and Rowdy Roddy Piper. I know you're a big fan, Jacob. Sure. Rowdy Roddy Piper and Chick. It's one of those power. It's like an almost an Elvis move. when you're either flying somewhere to eat some barbecue.
Or renting the movie theater.
Or renting out the movie. This is renting a pro wrestler and sending a guy on a run to Phoenix.
As long as you're spending the money, have Roddy Piper bring the Chick-fil-A.
He may have. I can't
shows
remember.
Shows up Chick-fil-A in hand.
It doesn't travel that well.
Not
bad. You could probably get it back to your apartment, but crossing state lines.
It's only a 90-minute flight, but still.
Yeah, I think you may have wanted to drive. But, yeah, I know. Everyone's very upset.
This part of the story that amazed me is the PR man for Chick-fil-A.
Died?
Like, yeah. Instantly? Like, because no one had ever called for an interview before.
Right.
I don't know if he was overwhelmed. It just seemed amazing.
He was like
timing.
The Maytag man.
Yes.
And his phone rang, and he started clutching his heart, and he just fell over.
That was I didn't like that part of the story.
It's weird that the actual PR guy died over the weekend, or like right when this is. It's the most bizarre thing
Paterno
in the world.
Timing.
Yes. Anyway, who cares?
Does this affect anyone's feelings about whether they would go? Because now I feel like it's become so politicized now that if you go,
you're making a statement.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's how I never liked Chick-fil-A that much anyway, so for me it's not a big loss.
My feeling is you should be able to do whatever you want, and then society should either boycott you or support you, depending. I mean, the people will vote with their wallets, and in this case, their bellies, unfortunately.
I don't eat chicken, so I won't be voting.
You don't eat chicken?
Yeah, I don't really. No.
Just lamb?
Just veal.
Well, I've always been a fan of Colonel Sanders for his very erotic gay lifestyle.
Yes.
So I will continue to support the Colonel.
Well, the man wears a white suit and has a cane.
Exactly.
He is a pimp. He was really one of the first pimps. Crazy facial hair. Crazy cane, by the way. I can't walk without it, but a cane like with a sword in it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a hash pipe or something. And then a white suit. I mean,
more foppish Burl Ives sort of thing.
Again, I don't want to have this take a turn for the racist, but carrying around a bucket of fried chicken. I mean, if that's not a pimp's role, I don't know what is. All right. Sorry.
I've never looked at Colonel Sanders this way.
Oh, yes.
But now I'm going to start.
Oh, yeah. Very strong pimp hand. So.
The whole finger-licking good thing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely sexual overtones.
He had a greasy pimp hand.
A very greasy chicken.
All the talk of biscuits right there. Another.
Yeah, biscuit is code for a young girl you turn out. A couple of young biscuits.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. With honey or without?
Yeah. Biscuits and gravy means they'll do a certain thing. Sure.
Westboro Baptist Church was doing its usual thing of protesting a military funeral. This is in... DuPont, Washington, and...
Can I say this?
Yes.
To all the potential guys out there who are thinking about going on a killing rampage, that would be the place to do it. You know what I mean? Like, well, leave the people at the fucking theater alone.
Do what you want, but let us redirect you.
Yes, let us redirect your killing spree toward the guys who, by the way, are bound... I don't think there's a court in the land that would convict you because they're just bound... You know, the streets are paved with gold where they're going. You know what I mean? They're all going... I don't.
You know, you'd think that, but I've been to the Westboro Baptist Church picnic.
You have.
Lovely.
They
lovely,
love Jews.
Lovely people. We're not protesting innocent, you know, people who've been killed. They're lovely.
I was protested by them once, but that was just lazy because I literally played a theater that was down the street from their church. And obviously anyone who plays their theater, it's always going to be a band or a comedian. It's always going to be some pagan who's in there who's using swear words or singing about fornicating. I think it's very easy for them just to walk down the street and do the theater. It's kind of
Jacob. Has anyone ever protested you? Has you ever had come?
No, I mean formally.
What theater were we? Where were we in KC? Yeah.
The Uptown Theater.
You play the Uptown Theater in KC. I guarantee they'll come out and do it. Because any act, unless it's up with people, any act that plays, you know, if it's even if it's a Broadway show, it's like, oh, the gays out there. Like, they'll just go down the street and do it. It's a target of opportunity, I think they call it.
My only brush with protesting was in Salt Lake City when I was speaking, promoting the Friends book. And I was speaking
love
to – and it was like the biggest crowd I ever had because I think they forced the kids. The college said, go to this lecture.
Right.
So there were like 800 people in a room. But at a certain point, I made some quote from Friends. So you know it wasn't that edgy. It was from Friends that aired in prime time. And someone stood up like it said, blasphemer, corrupter of our children.
Right.
And it was like – you know, and I'm not – that's like – I'm not a comedian, so I'm not used to hecklers. So
sure.
That was
– what'd you do?
I wept. It worked.
Yeah.
Eventually.
He was like, hey, man – this is my job. I don't go to your... that's right, you're fucking students. God damn it. Sorry. And moving on. Moving on.
Speaking of live appearances, yes. If you've never seen The Wallflowers, I don't know... are you guys on the road right now?
No, we just came home yesterday, actually. But we will be on the road again soon.
Because I was going to say, Jacob's... I've always thought he's one of the more talented singer-songwriters around, but in the last couple of years, I've gotten to see him live a few times, and you've gotten good in your old age.
Thank you.
I mean, really great show to see anytime, in any format you can see Jacob, but especially the Wallflowers are a great band, and you have a new drummer who's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know Jack Irons?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's played with...
You can go to Jacob Dylan, by the way, Jacob with a K, jacobdylan.com, and I'm guessing find dates and tour dates and things like that for the Wallflowers.
On the internets.
And at the Wallflowers, too.
At the Wallflowers. All right.
And Wild About Music.
Why? I don't understand in a land of laws why we can't keep these maniacs away from these fallen heroes' funeral
services.
Well,
so here's
the
thing, though. Now there's some vigilante protest of the protest because 8 Westboro nuts showed up.
Right.
300 people dressed as zombies showed up to overtake the protest.
Uh-huh.
Now the protests are being protested.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they organized.
Yeah, but even I feel like if I was putting a loved one in the ground, the 300 zombies wouldn't make me feel fantastic about the day either. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
I would go
one
with
that they obviously didn't consider.
Yeah, hey, let's pick the undead theme. Who roams
the
land.
Yeah. For your inert relative.
There's a very ghoulish theme here. Like,
it's a tad insensitive.
Yeah. You should be dressing up like Paul Revere and the Raiders or something. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what? Come to
Minutemen or something.
They're also opportunists.
What are the zombies doing?
Yeah, like, they're just like a flash mob. They said we wanted to turn something negative around into something people could laugh at and poke fun at.
Something that would scare the shit out of all the kids?
It was the easiest way to divert attention from something so hateful.
At a cemetery, too.
Yeah.
Again, there must have been shooting a video or something nearby. How are these people? Why the zombie theme at the funeral, though?
Speaking of costumes, how do we feel about people who are super into Halloween?
No. I understand.
If they're sexy.
Yeah, I
understand. He can do whatever he wants.
There's the guy who's been working out all year, and he's going as the baby with just the diaper on. He's trying to get laid. You know, there's the trying to get laid. But then there are the ones that take a refrigerator box and paint it up like a tampon box, and then they're married couple, and they both have like a tampon head or something.
That's
they
a pop solid
it
in idea.
They're
going
to fucking walk around the party knocking shit over, and they don't have use of their hands. And
just go as a tampon, not the box.
The people that are smearing the metallic paint all over their face and stuff. No, I'm so bad. I went as a last year. I went as a Zanku chicken employee. I just had the shirt.
That's not a costume.
That's what my wife said. But fuck it. What am I doing? Putting a bunch of grease paint on? What have I got to prove? And by the way, once you're married, Jesus Christ,
are you going to a party
a
or just trick or entering the door?
I had to go to Cousin Sal's party. I put my Zanku chicken. I think I had a hat.
Do you know how Zanku chicken feels about gay marriage?
Did you
suss that out first?
I could imagine. I would imagine they're not massive fans of gay marriage.
Does anyone who serves fast food like gay marriage?
I would say Jack in the Box. You got Jack.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Right there. Yeah, I don't know. I'd say the Jack in the Box seemed to be pretty progressive
to
me. Wendy's a lesbian, and the guy created the square burger seemed a little bit uptight.
Del
Taco. Pinks. Yeah, pinks. All right, what else?
Is not Taco Bell material or gay lingo?
It should be.
He's cute, but he's not Taco Bell material.
It's funny because people say to me, I have a book out called Not Taco Bell Material, Jacob. And people say all the time, like, oh, well, that's cool. You get free Taco Bell. They give you free Taco Bell now? And I'm like, well, first off, it's almost free now. Like, for everybody, you're 39 cents away from 3 tacos. Like, Taco Bell is free. It's the hassle of the Taco Bell. Like, I don't mind Taco Bell. I just don't like getting my ass out of the house and going and getting the Taco Bell. And it's actually sadder in a weird way when it's a hassle and it's only $1.89 after you're done loading up and bringing it back up to your house. So
it just highlights how lazy you are.
Yeah. What you want is Ruth Chris steakhouse or something like that, something or something by the sea, that you want an unlimited supply of. The Taco Bell, again, unless you're unemployed or make less than minimum wage, it is about free.
Remember on game shows when you used to win a lifetime supply of shampoo or something?
Yeah.
I feel like that you don't ever hear of people winning lifetime supplies of anything
and
anymore.
I always wonder, like, how do you calculate that? Right. They did that with ChapStick. Like, how much, how do you know how often I apply ChapStick and what is a lifetime? Obviously, it's not, our life supply times would be very different, so you'd have to find, they'd also do the.
And size of lips should be considered.
They do the ship, they do that with like Z-Brick, which is like fake brick paneling that would go up in your den. But again, I don't know how big, they wouldn't know how big your den was and all that kind of stuff. It was very sad that I spent almost my entire childhood watching those shows going, God damn, if I had a jet ski and some Z-Brick and unlimited lifetime supply of shampoo, that would be awesome.
I don't have SiriusXM because I bought, when they started, the lifetime membership, the lifetime subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed that was my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the lifetime of the really shitty plastic piece of crap.
Oh, really?
They put in my car, and it died within a few weeks. And on principle, we don't have it. In fact, you know, I mean, I go back to Stern as a, you know,
sure.
forever. I don't listen to it. And then my wife just got it 2 days ago, so that now it's the first time I've heard Stern in years because of, I'm so angry about my life. I'm still up in arms.
Yeah, they
got it.
They shouldn't. Yeah, they shouldn't do that.
Well, it shouldn't be. They shouldn't have an investment in their thing being a piece of shit.
Right.
In other words, if they sell you the lifetime membership and it breaks within a day,
right,
that's over.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, what do? Watch a lot of reality TV?
Not a whole lot.
What?
I don't mind them. No, I'm not. I don't.
What do you like?
Which one do you like?
Is there something?
I like the.
I can get sucked into just about any argument between chicks. You know, eventually, most of these reality shows are.
I don't mind those shows. The ones that make you feel bad, some of them just make you depressed.
The ones where the people are hoarders and morbidly obese and all that, they bring me down. But the ones where good-looking people are arguing, I don't mind those.
Have you seen the one? There's Pawn Stars, but then there's the other one.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pawn Stars is great because the guy comes in and he goes, this is Archie Moore's light heavyweight belt that he earned from beating Sonny Liston in 1963. Not a penny under $5,000. It's like smash cut to the guy going, I'll give you $70 for it. I'll take it. And that's my favorite. That's
have you seen the other one? It's Hardcore Pawn. Have you seen that one?
Mm-mm.
That one's really, they just make people come in and fight. That really? One's not.
What's it called? Pawn,
it's called Hardcore Pawn. It looks the same. Yeah, it's all play on the same thing.
I like when they call in the expert because he always has a crazy mustache.
Uh-huh.
This guy knows the Civil War. But all I can think of is how little this guy got laid in high school. But they call the expert in, and the expert is looking at the musket, and then he's explaining that the foundries of the day would have had a certain stamp on it. And I don't know why I get sucked into that. But yeah, I do. I get sucked into all the fishing shows, all the logging shows. All the shows where fathers and sons are yelling at each other. It's great stuff.
Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to start watching Bachelor Pad, I'll talk your ear off
about really?
It. Yeah,
really?
Just start it up again. Mm-hmm. It's good, bad.
Yeah.
I'm missing it right now for the people who are listening to this in the morning. So Finding Nemo, there will be a sequel to Nemo. I know you love that movie, and that will be coming out in 2016.
Like Kid Allen can get herself a paycheck for a change. That was good, and that'll have Albert Brooks in it?
They haven't said who the talent will be, but it is Andrew Stanton, who had a hand in nearly every Pixar movie worth watching, has received,
Pixar.
No, he'll be
that means
he'll be
directing Cars.
It.
Yeah, I think I'm in some Disney movie or something that was a, Mike, someone's going to have to go on the computer. Right. What was that movie? It's coming out. I don't know when it's coming out. I'm doing the voice of a cop. It was a video game. Yeah, it was a video game.
Mindy Kaling's in that too, I think.
Mindy Kaling's in it, and Sarah Silverman's in it, and what's his name was in Boogie Nights and in every movie. What the fuck is his name? Come on,
John C. Reilly.
Yes, he's in it. What is it? Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah, my problem is I don't like video games, and I rarely play video games. I don't know what they are, but I have to pretend like I know what they are. When Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, yeah. Now I just use my kids, you know.
And until I'm cut out, I'm in a movie with Albert Brooks coming up.
Oh, really? But is that the one with Graham Parker?
Yeah, but let's say no more. But that's my dream is because I believe if I'm in it, I will be sweating more than Albert Brooks sweated in Broadcast News. And it was not any special effect. It simply was flop sweat of a.
You don't realize most movies, there's a lot cut out. Like, I didn't understand that you make a movie and. Like I used to think if you got cut out of a movie, it's because you sucked or there was something wrong or whatever it is. But they make movies, as I was saying, I saw Seth MacFarlane's Ted. I saw about a 2-hour and 20-minute version of that. And we're talking afterward, and he said, we're going to get rid of at least 40 minutes of this thing, like this scene and that scene. And like, if you were in that scene, you'd take it personally. And maybe you should. It probably wasn't the best scene in the movie. But oftentimes, they just got to get 40 minutes out of a movie, and something's hitting the floor.
And often it's not enough when you see a lot of movies.
Yes.
You go, there is another 40 minutes. Jacob, did you ever act? I know you've had songs on soundtracks.
No, I haven't.
You've been asked a lot?
I have been.
And no interest? Because you're a good-looking man.
Thank you, David.
It's true.
And he rarely ever kisses the ass of an artist. But I'll make a rare exception
for you,
Jacob. That
must have been painful, David. No, I have been asked before. And I regret not doing some stuff before, but I'm all ears. You know, I'm still around.
You'll do it now?
Yeah, if something was really interesting. If I thought the part sounded like something that I could do, I would.
At the time when you guys first came out, were you more withdrawn? Like, I remember, like, it was like, well, he doesn't want to talk about his dad, like, at the beginning. And now you don't.
He still doesn't. You just keep asking.
Oh, I'm just being a dick.
No, you know what? I didn't. And I really don't have to now. I mean, it's because I never really have. It doesn't come up that much anymore, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never that big of a problem for me anyhow. I mean.
It wasn't.
No.
All right. I never knew. I don't think you guys did Loveline, so I wasn't able to interview you. But I just remember hearing.
Why did you guys stop doing that?
I did it from, like, actually someone was reading my IMDb to me when they were doing a bad interview with me today, and I found out it was from 95 to 2005. So I did it for 10 years, and it's still going on, but I'm not doing it anymore. But it is funny. By the way, you want to talk about Mike. Do you remember after the show? After the show, you want to talk about the most unprofessional interview? After the show we did in Buffalo on Saturday night, I just got done signing autographs for 350 people, and all I wanted to do was get the fuck out of there because we had a flight and we're going to meet in the hotel lobby at 6:15 in the morning. I just want to get the fuck out of there. And this one guy said, hey, man, I do a online whatever. Could I get it just a couple of minutes, just a quick interview? My wife's got the camera. We'll just do a stand-up thing when you're done. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And so he, like, holds the mic up, and he's got the mic, and says to his wife, all right, you're on? You going? And he's like, okay, wait, hold on. You want to get high? And I was like, yes, but not with a fat guy with a huge medallion in the parking lot. Like, people should say with me, because like the answer of do you want to get high? Yes, with a model in a jacuzzi, but not with your fat ass and your nine. How many medallions did that fucking? Oh, we'll find a picture.
Quite a few.
Yeah,
and but it was a t-shirt and shorts and. He asked you to get high in front of a state trooper.
There was a state trooper who was waiting for an autograph, and I said, well, just hold on. Let me just do this quick interview. And he said, you want to get high?
It was a sting operation.
Oh, yeah. He gave us a Zip Fizz. He gave us a Zip Fizz
what
container. It's like this stuff you dump into water, and it's got vitamin C in it.
It's like emergency.
Emergency. Except for this one had a joint in it. People, I appreciate all the guys who make the 750 milliliter home brews and give them to me and stuff. But you understand, I'm going to the airport tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and I can't bring the drugs. I can't mule the drugs and the home brew and all that. It's a sweet gesture. I can't do it. But I appreciate it. And I usually just give it to the state trooper or whatever.
Hey, so you got to just so we can really say how great an interviewer this guy was, you want to tee up what his first question for you was?
I can't even. Well, his first question was, you want to get high. But okay. His second question.
So you got a book coming out?
Right. been out for about 2 months, but yes, I appreciate it. He was wearing a T-shirt and had an actual ounce of gold hanging. So it was a classic.
I've heard, Jacob, I don't know what your experience is. I've heard that the worst journalists are German, that it takes on the feeling of interrogation, vaguely Nazi-like.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess the language can sound aggressive, and if you were more sensitive, I mean, I know what you mean, but I don't think generally they're – would you call them more aggressive?
I just heard they were the toughest, the meanest. And the British press, I guess, when they turn on you.
Yeah, well, British press is nastier. I mean, I've never – in my circle, nobody talks about German press being anything –
German press sounds like another gay move.
Yeah.
Guy fucking came up behind me. Young biscuit with gravy gave me a German press. I'll give it a 5. All right. Let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
And that was Jacob Dylan, David Wilde, Allison, Brian, and Adam hanging out back in 2012, also doing the news.
You were a big One Headlight guy, right?
I love One Headlight. It's an incredible song. Doesn't get old.
I'm a fan, too. Yeah. Was a fan when it was a single, when it was on MTV all the time. I never got sick of it.
I still listen to it today. It's so, so good. All right, before we get started with this last clip, I want to remind everybody, Adam Carolla has a new book coming out, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture. And it's available for pre-order. So check that out at adamcarolla.com, Barnes & Noble. Also, Adam will be doing live shows in Milwaukee, January 24th, Chicago, January 25th. He'll also be in Cleveland and Indianapolis. What is going on with me? He'll also be in Cleveland and Indianapolis in February. So come check him out. He'll be doing stand-up, and Adam Carolla is unprepared. All right, this next clip. This one is from 2014 and features Marlon Wayans in studio.
Adam Carolla Show, 1434, featuring Marlon Wayans, Laura Ingraham. This is after Laura joins him. Marlon's in the studio. It's his full interview and the news and the coining of a classic drop that you already heard in the Howie Mandel episode that played 2 days ago. Check it out.
Marlon Wayans in studios. Got some stand-up gigs coming up. Coming up Providence, Rhode Island, Comedy Connection. The Wilbur Theater. Who the hell was going to the Wilbur Theater just through here? I played the Wilbur Theater.
I love the Wilbur Theater.
Beautiful.
October 24th in Boston.
That is in Boston, and it is just... David Alan Greer was just at the Wilbur Theater.
I love that crazy dude. He has so much energy.
He's such an, you know, it's funny. I was, someone was giving me an interview today. I was being interviewed, and they said, "Who's the funniest person you know?" And I said, "Don't think of it that way."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I said, David Alan Greer, probably the funniest person I know, but Tim Allen has made a million kajillion more dollars than David Alan Greer, and everyone does that.
So
who's
is
the
David
funniest?
Really the funniest guy? Well, he may be the funniest guy you know, but everybody else apparently thinks Tim Allen's funny.
No, it's not.
David is absolutely hilarious. I've never seen it. I did a gig with David, and David's funny because he'll be like, dude, I don't have no jokes. And he'll take one topic, and I swear for like 45 minutes, this motherfucker improvises some of the funniest shit you ever seen. He's just brilliant.
Like, but is somebody who comes from a comedy family who I always say, everyone gets obsessed about who's the funniest. And I'm like, I always say, it's not how much horsepower your engine is putting out. It's how much are you getting to the rear wheels. Because this.
You just fucked me up with that analogy.
That's
NASCAR shit there.
This person said to me, who's the funniest people you know or the funniest person you know? And I said, you wouldn't know any of their names. They're living in a basement
exactly.
In Brattleboro, Vermont, in their in-laws' house.
People look at our family and go, who's the funniest one in your family? It's the niggas you ain't met yet. Those are the funniest ones. My mother?
That was what I said to the lady from the Orange County Register. She was a lady from the Orange County Register. That's what I said.
I had an uncle. He died, man, but he was hilarious. Before heroin got his ass, man.
But he didn't make any money, right?
He didn't make nothing. In fact, he died broke, with a broken leg. Gangrene caught him. So messed up.
But what I'm saying is not everyone in your family.
So it was just like, oh, this is amazing.
But can you kind of explain to people, I feel like everyone just wants to know who's the funniest, and it's not that. It's who's the smartest, who's the hardest working, who's the most focused, who doesn't get gangrene, that kind of stuff.
It depends on what you like. Like, you know, we have stars, and then we have the reality stars. Like, some of my people in my family, like, you know, the ones you haven't met are probably some of the funniest. My sister Elvira, it's absolutely hilarious. I swear, I think she has Tourette's, because if she sees it, she says it. She has no filter at all. And for me, my mom's absolutely hilarious. I think when it comes to me, Sean, Damon, and Keenan and Kim, it depends on what your taste is. Like, if you got like a guy that likes to throw his balls in his face, that's probably me.
But would you say Keenan is the smartest with the business side of it, for instance?
I think Keenan knows a lot. He taught us a lot. So Keenan's like, if this was like the Godfather, he's the Godfather.
How much older is Keenan than you?
Keenan's 15 years older.
So,
but he looks like 15 years younger. He's on this vegetable. I'm trying this week. I shed four times before I came here. I was just like, it's crazy. I got up, like, I wiped and everything. I got up and I was about to come and I said, hey, my asshole's it. You're not done yet. Remember yesterday stuff? Yeah, that's here already. Remember this morning? Yeah, you just had that? That's here already. So I'm sorry I'm late.
Keenan's on a full veggie cleansy thing.
No, Keenan's actually on some paleo shit. He's like Black LaLanne. This guy, he's like Diesel. He's like, the older he gets, like, the more Diesel. He doesn't have those, like, he's like those Harvey Keitel abs. So it's just like, you know, that underbuff for no reason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Damon's really funny too. I think we went on a tour, me, Damon, Keenan, and Sean this summer. And it was hard for people to say who was the funniest because we got four stand ovations. Everybody at the end, and then five if you include when we all went out. But, you know, we all were funny. It's different. Depends on your taste.
But how important was it for you to have him out there doing this as you were coming up?
Oh, thank God. If Keenan put it this way, the oldest brother is very important. Keenan being, well, the second oldest. My oldest brother, we didn't follow him. We followed because we'd all be dead. Here's the thing. Keenan... I thank God that Keenan went into stand-up and to showbiz, because if he would have been a drug dealer, we'd have had a whole family full of drug dealers.
Because you were going to follow him no matter what direction.
We would follow
Funny Keenan. Drug dealers.
Where?
But nevertheless, drug dealers.
Yeah. Where did the first brother go?
That's actually, the funny would help us in jail. That'd be a slight distraction. They would like, they'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to rape you today. You made me laugh real hard. First brother went, he went all the way there. He went, Dwayne was like... Like, you know, just crazy. You know, Dwayne.
Is he with us?
No, he's dead.
He just went into drugs?
Yeah, drugs got him. He did it, and, you know, I was just like, you know, thankfully, like, for us, I always looked and said, you know, there's nothing about crack that makes me want to do it. Yeah, they have a lot of energy.
Right.
But I go, they get ashy. They're always missing, like, a front tooth. Like, why don't you miss a back tooth? Why one of the pertinent front teeth? I don't want that look. I don't want to look ashy like E.T. when he was sick in the ocean. I mean, the river. It fucks me up.
So is he... Now, you were probably too young, or I don't know how old you were when he passed away, but...
No, my brother was... I was... It was year 2000, so...
So there's nothing, and you guys were all established at that point.
Yeah.
And so there's like, when a guy wants to go that direction, there's just nothing you can do about it.
Nah, you just give him, you know, at a point, you try not give him the money, you do your thing, you try the intervention thing, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But, you know, when people are on drugs, you know, it's like, that's the route they want to go. You know, if you're happy, I'm happy for you. You know, I wish I had money now. Like when he died, I was just starting to get money. Like, if he was alive right now, I'd probably made him like a great crack lab or something. Like, so he didn't have to be in that weird like crack house. I get him his own nice house, and he can invite his little crack friends over. He'd have the best crack. We make sure it's pure. You know, that's what you want to do. Let's make sure you're happy. You know?
Do you think there's a lot? I feel like there's a lot of these stories.
What's the difference between crack and coffee? Let's think about it. It's just not a Starbucks, crack Starbucks in every corner.
Well, they both start in Colombia, and exactly. They work their way here.
Exactly. They both give you a lot of energy. Starbucks doesn't make you ashy.
Is there a part, though, I mean, at a certain point, you just have to, I've had this with friends where you just have to almost write them off. You just go, I can no longer try to help you. There's nothing
I
can do.
But with family, it's just like, at the end of the day, you're my brother. So, you know, I love you and, you know, you do the best you can.
So, ten brothers and sisters,
yes.
Including you.
Yes.
How many are with us?
They're all here, except for the crackhead.
Except for the crackhead. Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, here's the thing. And Dwayne was a great big brother. Like, you know, until he, like, smoked some bad shit and kind of made him a little twisted. And then he started thinking the TV was talking to him. And that was a lot of fun to watch.
Sure. Yeah, as a young person.
It made me laugh so hard. Like, he was TV to me.
What percent? So out of the 9 living Waynes, how many in show business?
There's 6 in show business.
And what are the other 3 up to?
They live off the six others in showbiz.
Like the Osmonds.
They're in show off business. Uh-huh. They show off all the nice shit we buy them. But actually, no, my sisters, they may be in showbiz too, because, like I said, they're not stars like me, Sean, Dan, and Keenan, you know, Kim. They're reality stars. Like, so I'm actually working on a reality show for my 3 sisters. So they're like the Kardashians, but if they were real ghetto with like real big asses, still weirdly shaped,
right?
But there's just real.
What is there? I don't know a lot about asses.
I do.
All right, I hear about ass implants a lot.
It's weird.
Is it true?
Yeah, a lot
does
of girls,
it exist?
Yeah, a lot of girls do. I think it's weird. Not to say, you know, you don't want to take it for a spin just to see what it does, but you know, over time, you know, it's just, you know, it's gonna look nasty. At a point, you're not gonna be able to shape that. So,
can I ask this? Yes. I don't mean to be racially insensitive. Why the black man attract like the tractor beam with the ass?
We what? Like ass. White guys don't like ass. You guys like asses that look like knuckles. You guys like tits. You guys like, oh, fuck, I fucking tits, dude.
Yeah.
I don't care about tits. But don't have a hole between them. If they did, like if she had a tracheotomy,
can try to
tits
dig one.
Is fucking awesome.
Okay, okay. you hear that, former smokers?
Give me the
Well, no, but here's my theory.
Yeah.
My feeling is, when I see some of that hip-hop ass, I think I don't have enough cock to deal with that.
That's your problem, because you know I'm not even going to be able to get in. I'm going to have to lean all the way underneath.
I'm going to need a mechanics creeper and a good downhill.
And you're going to hold it open, and that's going to hurt your forearms and shit.
Yes.
I need that extra stroke because, you know, I like to play, you know, hide and seek. You put it in and you see. I could do a long stroke.
Right. What I'm saying is this. That's right. Here's the guys who like ass, is my theory. My theory is, if you can grab the base of your dick and sort of use it like you're holding a weapon, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? There's still enough dick to use.
To hurt someone?
That's right. Yeah, then you like ass.
Okay.
But if you put your hand over your dick and there's really nothing hanging out past your knuckles.
Or worse, a deficit.
It can't breathe. Right. Then you don't like ass.
Well, and then some of those guys don't like head either.
Oh.
Because unless the girl has small hands. Because, like, you know, the girls like guys when they, because they, the girls give head just to test to see whether or not I want to fuck this guy. So
they do?
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, if you got 2 hands, if you could put 2 hands like this, oh, mm-hmm. she's definitely fucking you. If she can't close the hand and it's going to be birth and labor and mm-hmm. pain, she's not fucking you either. But, you know, if it, a little turtle creeps out of the 2 hands.
The 2 hands. Sign.
Yeah, she might introduce you to your parents.
2 hands? I mean, oh, 2 hands.
All right, let me give it a little love.
I like big asses, and it's weird, but they're fun. Like, you can make shapes with them. You could smack them. They make noises, and, you know, I like them with the stretch marks.
What kind
of
shapes?
Well, you could make like little, it's like, you know, the little balloons that you balloon animals?
Sure.
It's kind of like that, but you can't twist them. They just whelp to one side and they grip. Like, I like when there's so much ass that it comes to the front. So you could grip them from the front. And, you know, it works.
Is there a stereotype? Like, there's all the black stereotypes, but this one does seem to be pretty universal.
That guy, black guys like
big. Like the ass.
Yeah, definitely. Look, me and my boys, it's funny because I got a lot of white friends, like my Jewish mm-hmm. friends in New York, like my friend Mark Birnbaum and Eugene. I go to their clubs. They own Catch and the General and a couple of great clubs in New York. All the models are there. I'm like, that's not my flavor. Like, there's a bunch, all the models, I'm like, she looks like she's a flamingo.
Yeah, all the super wafy chicks whose knees like bend the wrong way.
Yeah, give me, yeah. I like a gymnast. Give me a little short, thick chick that does this when she dismounts the dick. I like them thick. I like them. I like to know they could take it. I don't want no. I don't want to put my dick in you and see it.
Now I'm having a thought here.
Yes,
it sounds sort of Hitwellian, or if that Hitler. But here's what I'm saying: we're going to be white man's going to be in trouble.
Okay,
we're not going to be able to play in the NFL anymore.
Oh shit!
Because we can't have
any possession receivers.
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is: we get the Tom Brady's with the Giselle Bundchens of the world.
Sure,
the wafy, the spindly. Okay. You know what I mean? We need somebody with a thicker bottom half. No, you know what I mean? Like bigger thighs, like stronger lower end.
You guys are doing fine. It's going to be all white soon.
Because, really?
Yeah, because black guys, we're going to felony our way out of sports, period, you know. Between beating your kid's ass and, you know, scrapping with your girl. You know, think about how many black guys arrested right now out the league. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's going to be an all-white league.
It's going to be all Toby Gerhart.
Yeah. It's going to be so unexciting. It's going to be soccer. With a wheelie-shaped ball.
Gerhart, Edelman, this year's Super Bowl.
Well, speaking of that, DraftKings, baby. My listeners are winning huge cash prizes at DraftKings.com. America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. No season-long commitments. You play whenever you want. Injured players thrown out of the league for a little domestic violence. Who cares? You got DraftKings, man. You draft a new team every week, Brian.
Here's my tip for the week. Follow the injury reports closely because guy goes, AJ Green goes out with a toe injury. Mohamed Sanu becomes a very good target for you. And if Victor Cruz goes out with an injury, Odell Beckham becomes a pretty good pickup for a low price. So watch those injury reports, pick up the backups, and fill your team with a few backups.
Pick your teams in minutes, and you can win big-time cash prizes. Get free entry into the $100,000 contest this weekend. First place takes home 10 grand. Dawson, DraftKings.
Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code Adam to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Adam for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
All right.
You
let's
have a whole
do,
setup here. I'm just
that's
looking
my
at
thing.
This
yeah.
Guy.
Let's
you got cameras and shit.
Let's do
white guys in a booth.
a little news. And Marlon, you hang out and crack wise with
Let's
us.
Do it.
With Allison Rosen, everybody.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
The mother of a 17-year-old boy who brought a gun to school has been charged.
I like that.
Did you hear about this?
A lot
no. of people tweeted it to me.
Somebody tweeted me a story that I loved out of Japan, which is somebody's kid killed somebody else's kid, and I think the dad killed himself. I like that.
Adam's super into shame.
I like shame. I like it. Like when your kid, you know, goes nuts on somebody else or starts beating on somebody or does whatever, I want the parents punished just like I want them punished.
Why?
When
he did the stupid shit. I told him not to do it. I'm not going to jail.
Yeah,
you did
but you didn't notice him listening to The Cure and wearing a trench coat and burning, putting M80s on frogs and
I
shit like
saw
that.
It, but I didn't think he would go shoot people. I mean, you know.
You're our last line of defense.
Smoke some weed or some shit.
But it's like when your dog gets out and bites somebody. It's on you.
Kill the dog. Don't put me under. The dog. I taught the dog not to bite.
The dog is. You did a horrible job. The dog is going to get put down, but you should get fined. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I like the Japanese because they kill themselves.
Okay. Well, I take that. I respect it.
So what happened?
Okay, so the teenage boy was charged in a separate case. Leah Devon Wilkins' son is the kid who was involved in this. They're not releasing his name because he's a minor. He brought a fully loaded .45 caliber semi-automatic to Will Rogers High School, which is in Van Nuys. And he also carried an additional fully loaded 7-round magazine to the school, which was confiscated by police.
Will Rogers is in Van Nuys?
Yes.
High school?
A brother named Wilkinson goes to Will Rogers High School?
I suppose.
I'm sure the number of people who go to Will Rogers in Van Nuys, the percentage of those kids who know who Will Rogers is right up there with the percentage of Clippers who know what a Clipper is.
It's probably about accurate.
Van Nuys is a tough place. A mostly Hispanic place, I would say. At least I grew up in the Valley. That's what it reminds me of. But you know what it could be?
Hmm.
We had Amelia Earhart. What we do in L.A. Unified, and I don't know if they do this around
is that
the country.
Amelia Earhart High School?
Well, we've it's not that. It's a carbuncle that's on the ass of North Hollywood High. It's basically we went here. My sister went there. Here's how it works. We went, look, there's a whole bunch of loser kids who can't cut it in high school.
Oh, like a
because
or continuation.
Yeah, they like staying home and they like smoking and they like chilling and they're not much about homework or authority or something like that. And then somebody went, well, we can't have them drop out of school. And they went, well, what if we just put up some benches with some ashtrays in a bungalow over at the end of the school and then we'll call it a separate school and then they can go over there and chill out and smoke. And then they went to the kids and went like, you don't mind going over here and smoking, do you? And that way you won't have to drop out. You can just go here and not be educated. You can be warehoused outdoors.
It sounds like the whole, where the whole cast of Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's those kids. Yeah.
We were talking about them yesterday, I think.
Michelle Pfeiffer comes and teaches them and, you know.
Dangerous Minds.
Yeah, Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds, yeah.
Stand and Deliver, Dangerous Minds, yeah.
I was always envious of those kids.
So now...
Why?
Because they're in a movie, but if you had to live their life...
The ones who went to the continuation high schools. I don't know. They seemed they were cooler, had more fun, smoked, and spent less time in school.
I agree. Breakfast Club made me want to...
Yes.
Like, I wanted to be in the Breakfast Club so bad, but, you know, they're white kids. Black kids, we just get suspended.
That's true. Very white school.
I was now, Gary. You got to find out if this school is one of those like Amelia Earhart is to North Hollywood High, because or they just built a new high school. Now, I was saying yesterday when I was doing my CarCast podcast that when I used to ride a motorcycle, I got pulled over. The guy cop towed my bike, and I had to walk home to my apartment, and I got picked up by the big guy on Stand and Deliver. The big Mexican student guy picked me up in his Pinto. I was hitchhiking home, and I never found out whatever happened to that that dude. But anyway, good. Punished your parents. I'm fine with that.
I think me and you took a NASCAR course together. I think it was like some Petty.
Richard Petty.
Richard Petty had this driving school thing that he did with a bunch of celebrities. Was you in it?
I did the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix a few times, but I never did the Richard Petty.
Okay. It was Quentin Tarantino. I'm sorry. Wrong.
Really?
Yeah. This fucker was driving like 300 miles an hour.
Quentin was.
At one point, I thought his car was going to literally take off and like fly.
He's insane, isn't he?
He's crazy.
But I love his movies, but he's nuts, right?
He's crazy as all hell, but fucker could drive, though. If you ever want to rob a bank, make him your race car driver, because he's dope.
Quentin, I'm looking for a wheelman and a second story guy, by the way.
I can do both.
Grab Christoph Waltz. I need someone who's bilingual. All right.
As long as we talk about movies, I'd be remiss to let Marlon go without talking about Requiem for a Dream. I assume you consider yourself a comedic actor. It's one of the best dramatic performances I've ever seen for a comedic actor. Is
Thank
really
you.
Well done. Are you going to do more dramatic work?
Probably not, but it was nice to
one
do that
and done?
One. Yeah, I mean,
it was damn good.
It's rare that you get those opportunities, Darren. I had to like literally audition for that movie like 6 times, and Darren Aronofsky was like, "I'm not letting any fucking body from the Frog Network on my goddamn movie," and I just kept going in and convincing him, and then I you know, I wound up getting it, and it was a great opportunity. I would do more drama, but I'm too busy writing comedies and going on tour and I love this shit. Nobody understands how hard comedy is. Everybody's like, oh, drama. Look, we all have fucking tears. Mm. Can you make people laugh until they cry? That's the joy of comedy.
And I feel like the batting average is pretty good when the person goes from comedy to drama, and thus comedy a little more. Well, let's put it this way. Going from drama to comedy is tougher, I think, than going from comedy to drama, although we always say it's the other way around. But do you then consider yourself a writer, comedian, actor, or do you just feel like if it's comedy or if it's performing, you'll do it?
If it's performing and I think it's good, if it hits my sensibilities, it's something I want to do, I'll do it. I'm versatile. I could do it all. But, you know, I personally, when I'm going to write something, for the most part, it's going to be a comedy. If I'm going to produce something, chances are it's going to be a comedy. And if I'm going to be in something, you know, if it's, I'll do it with a good director or a great director. But, yeah, dude, I like comedy, man. That shit is awesome. It's the best feeling in the world. I get to, like, laugh all day long, hang out with my boys, and, you know, basically just, you know, make people laugh. It's an awesome, awesome thing. There's no greater high than the adrenaline you get from an audience. Like, I need a drink after my show to come down off the high of, you know, those thousands of people laughing at your material. It's awesome.
I want to kill myself.
Marlon hosts, I don't know if you guys caught any of Funniest Wins, which was the reality competition show, yes, that Marlon hosted, which my friend Christina was on, and I thought it was so interesting.
Yes, she rocked it.
Love her. I thought it was interesting to watch how some of the people who were on the show are known for, let's say, Vine comedy or just different social media comedy, and then to watch them try to adapt to different forms and how some of them struggled.
That's why I like when I created the show, I wanted to put comedians up against the Viners, up against the YouTubers, because everybody goes, oh, these guys, they all talk shit about each other. So YouTubers are like, fuck stand-ups, they're all jealous of me because I got all these millions of hits. Stand-ups like, fuck these fucking Vine guys and these YouTubers. Let's see them, how fucking great they are when they get an audience in front of them. The Vine guys are just kids. They're like, fuck all you guys. In 6 seconds, I'm making money. Suck my dick. So when you put them all together, what I found was the best, the comedians are the better writers. So they adapted best to when it was time to do a Vine, when it was time to do a digital short, because when you do stand-up comedy, you have an audience in your head. So then when I put them in front of an audience, I didn't let the digital guys hide behind, you know, not having responsibility of an audience. Mm-hmm. So whenever we showed their digital short or their Vine, I put them in front of an audience so they would feel, you know, it's not just, hey, I think this is funny. No, the audience didn't laugh at all. All right. There was crickets. So now you're making them responsible. And what you find is a lot of times they're all talented, but you find is the comedians were a little bit more versatile and were probably the better, stronger writers in the longer form.
Well, it's hard. I mean, I've found from doing a million live shows, there's no substitute for being up on stage with a guy who's has the 10,000 hours with the mic in their hand. No matter how funny the actor or actress is or personality is, just that person that has logged those hours on stage.
Yep.
And there's just no fast forwarding through that process.
Yeah.
And you probably have young comedians say to you, oh, what's the trick? What's the key? How do we do it? It's like, get up on stage
and stay there. And then after you get off stage, go across town, get on stage again. Then you go across town, get on stage again. You do stand up every day. The more you do it, the better you get. It's like now when I started doing like 4.5 years ago, actually 3 years ago now. But I grew up in it. I just decided, I was like, you know, I don't want to do that shit. Keenan does it, Damon does it, Sean does it. I'm going to be the actor of the family. And I was just like, you know, then I got the role of Richard Pryor. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to play the greatest comedian ever, I should get my black ass on stage. And so I started doing stand-up, and I actually fell in love with stand-up. And I don't know what's going to happen with the movie, but I'm just thankful to Pryor because it got me on stage. And I've grown so much from doing stand-up. It's unbelievable. As a writer, it makes you better. Like when I'm writing movies now, it helps me. I hear an audience in my head. I know you can hear where the ooh's going to be and where the ha's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm getting to that point where you can actually take a concept and right there in front of your audience, you can build out a 5-minute bit with a good crescendo right there kind of on stage, because the more you connect with the audience, it's not about the laughs. It's about the listen. If they're listening, you can make them laugh. The key is to keep them listening. You know, I the more I do it, the more I learn. Plus, you know, I like doing characters too, so I'll like be in front of an audience and then like I'll shut that curtain and it's just like, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm doing a monologue.
Do you feel like, I mean, now you can just go do whatever you want? I mean, you can do a show on TBS. You can be in a major film. You can do a comedy role. You can do a dramatic role. You can do stand-up. You can write movies.
I could be Bill Cosby, Rodney Allen, Rippy, and Will Smith all at the same time. Nowadays, you can. There is no. Before, it used to be, hey, if you're a movie star, you don't fucking touch TV. You never do a commercial.
Sure.
Nowadays, you can do it all because you're your own brand and
but
it's you.
Is it front? And by the way, Rodney Allen Rippey was the little blonde kid that moved next to the Partridge Family. Now he, Rodney Allen Rippey, was a little black kid who
he was Gary
ate
Coleman.
He was Gary Coleman before Gary Coleman was Gary Coleman. He ate the Jumbo Jack. That was his thing.
Oh, him.
Rodney Allen Rippey.
I haven't heard that name in so long.
He's the one that Gary Coleman said, I want to be like him.
Yeah, before he was claimed by Gang Green in the late 70s, he was one of the most beloved young black men in America.
Oh,
he,
okay.
They took a miniature little boy with a huge afro, and they put a giant Jumbo Jack in his mouth. Yeah. I think Jack in the Box is what put Rodney
Allen Rippey
on the map. Yeah.
Adorable.
He was a child star?
He looked like he was the one. Like, you know, he goes, what you talking about, Willis? I was the first one to come up with that. Yeah. What you talking about, Willis? I said, what you talking about, Harry? That was my line, Gary Coleman stole my shit.
Yeah, there he is holding the Jumbo Jack.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't he look like Gary Coleman Jr.?
Was he a child or was he a little man? Well, Gary Coleman is a little person.
I mean, what was Emmanuel Lewis? Like, is he a child or is he a little
no,
man?
No, he was. A bit of both. During his heyday. True. He was at the peak of his powers,
right,
probably.
But was he 4 or 18?
That's what
we're wondering.
First off, I'm a racist, and that's offensive.
How is it offensive?
Number one.
Offensive.
Thank you.
It don't
Marla
crack.
And I are both offended by that, and I'm racist.
Look, it don't crack.
Okay. No, he was at the height of his powers when he was 7 or 8 years old. Or 6.
No, he was a young guy.
How dare you.
Right, now we need to find out. It's so insulting.
I swear he looks just like Gary Coleman.
What he does. Now, all right. The campaign must have been circa 1974 or something like that. So, Gary, you need to find out what year he was born, and please don't have it be in the 40s. So I'm going to be embarrassed. He's born in 68. Okay, so I guarantee those commercials were like from 75 or something, so he must have been.
Well, looking at that afro, that was more like 70. That was the 1974.
Yeah, it says early type of afro. Early 70s.
The later the 70s went on, the smaller the afro got, because by the 80s, that's when they all wanted to pat the afro down because they're preparing for the flat top. See, I know this.
Okay.
I know this. So
yeah, so Rodney would have been 6 when he was doing this campaign. Now, where he is now, that. I
think he's still alive.
Oh, yeah. Someone would have called if something happened to Rodney. They know the way I feel. But
they definitely would have had him up at the Oscars.
He was super cute.
With the Jumbo Jack.
Black and white.
He was super cute, and he ate that Jumbo Jack. And he launched the Jumbo Jack, as far as I could tell.
Was he parodied on SNL or anything? Because I definitely know the name, but this was before I was born.
His but name I, comes
just
up every
to say
once
that
in a while.
Younger than 1968.
Yeah. I want to brag that I'm still a tiny bit under 40.
In 2013, he ran for mayor of Compton.
Did he?
Yeah, I was in Compton and I just ran. There's no office. I just kept running.
Where did Gary get that news from? The Onion.
He bowed out of the race. He's 46 years of age.
Alive.
Mayor of Compton. He was beat Mayor McCheese, actually. The incumbent took him.
What was his slogan? What did he say in that commercial?
Have it your way.
I think he would just sit there for. It was diabolical because they launched the Jumbo Jack, but they took a miniature person to do it so that the burger looked huge because they had a 5-year-old hanging on to it.
It looked fucking huge.
Yeah. It's the.
That's why I say fuck girls with little hands.
Right, but it's why I don't go after the ass. It's the exact inverse.
Exactly. Now we're connecting.
Right. So he was holding the little guy, and he was eating it, saying just, I think, how big it was. But I don't think he had a here come the judge or any good thing like that.
No, what you talking about, Willis? You
know, I don't know how it works for black folk. Your 10th birthday, they go, what's your saying? You go, I don't have one. Well, you know, you got to pick
if
one up.
You blow up, you got to have
you
one.
You got to have
one.
Okay, that's good, little Jimmy Walker. Now, we're going to see it. We're going to see this commercial with Ronnie. You're going to fall in love with him, by the way. Look at this.
Haven't I seen you on TV before?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Rodney.
Rodney what?
Rodney Allen Rippey.
What's that in front of you?
A Jumbo Jack.
A Jumbo Jack?
From Jack in the Box.
Did you ever get a bite out of it?
It's too big to eat.
You think you'll be able to get a bite now? Give it a try, Rodney.
Who's the creepy guy?
How about you shut up, honky? Let me
be such a pedophile.
Yeah, right?
Boy, it's hot in here. We should take our shirts off, Ronnie.
You want some sweet tea?
No, don't wipe your chin.
I got some Toll House cookies and sweet tea in the back.
Yeah. I like how Ronnie had attitude, though.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, nigga, why are you asking me so much questions? Just give me my fucking burger. Fuck out my face.
Same stuff I did at Orange County Register. So there he is. He's adorable, Ronnie, right?
There's the mayor.
And it worked great. The burger looked huge, right? That's the plan. All right, let me give a little love to one of our sponsors here. Stamps.com. Love Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage, and it comes right out of your own computer. That's right. You print it. It comes right out of your printer. Don't have to deal with the post office anymore. Turn your PC or Mac into a post office, and it never closes, baby. And they got a special offer. Enter the promo code Adam. They got a no-risk trial. $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. What do you do? Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right, let's do one more story, shall we?
You could definitely go.
The White House has rejected a call for an Ebola travel ban. So this would be a ban on travel from the West Africa region where all the Ebola cases are breaking out to the U.S. Republicans are calling – they want this ban. The White House is saying no, because what – the argument against the ban would be that it could just further endanger people, because people who are trying to get here would just find another route and then we wouldn't be able to track it.
Funny. A couple hundred years ago, we couldn't get people here fast enough from West Africa. And now,
tell them
not to come.
Tell them to stay
home. Sniff. Funny how things change.
Sniff. It's powerful.
Powerful.
So
Obama's not going to let that happen.
We're going to figure out a way. The deal is we say don't come here. They're going to come here anyway, but we won't be able to keep track of them.
Yeah, because they'll get a connecting flight through Dallas-Fort Worth. Or through another country.
They'll land in Mexico and come across that way.
Right. And then because we know if someone's flying here from West Africa, we should be wary.
Mm-hmm.
But if that person comes in, you know, from another location, we're not going to be wary.
Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the whole Ebola thing.
My son is.
He is.
He won't kiss me when I come home from the road.
Really?
He's like, you got germs. You got to wash your hands.
Really?
Yeah. My son's just like.
How old is he?
He's 12. He washes his hands, like, except for when he touches a little nasty dick. I'm like, you don't think there's a bowl in there? Like, all day long. I'm like, nobody's going to take that job.
Think about how you grew up. I mean, where's everyone washing and Purelling and cleaning and scrubbing and all this?
No, we wasn't even wearing condoms. What are you talking about? The diseases have gotten progressively worse. I miss the old days when diseases was just...
When it was just AIDS?
Yeah. But before AIDS. Right. AIDS fucked it all up. After herpes was like the beginning, then AIDS was just like, fuck you. Now there's Ebola. It's like, it's getting really bad. Like, you know.
I have said this many times. There's no way we need to be doing all the fist bumping and all the scrubbing and all the Purelling and all the stuff. That's not going to work. It's not going to make us any stronger.
Yeah, but, you know, people are nasty, though. Think about it. You
know? Yeah, I know. But think about everything that's around you in the air and what you eat. You came in here eating something that...
It looked healthy.
It looked like somebody shit into a pinata and then squeezed it out onto your plate. I don't even know what that was.
I don't even know what it
was.
But
what was it supposed to be?
It was seaweed. It was kimchi. It was a little bit of brown rice and black beans.
Rodney, I'm the Alan King.
You shit four times and then ate that?
I shit four times in one. It was one time, but it was four times.
Rodney Allen King
episodes.
Would be disgusted with you
it's
right
Rodney
now.
It's Rodney Allen Rippy.
Oh, Rodney Allen Rippy. Sorry, King.
Greatest
little Freudian slip.
Named a street after him.
Rodney Allen Rippy. All right, we're getting
old. Civil rights leaders.
Rodney Allen King.
He had a dream for a Jumbo Jack.
Rodney Allen Rippy. Sorry.
By the way, you could not molest that kid. He had way too much attitude. You better touch my ding ding. You better not touch my ding ding. Call my mama.
No, Lord knows I tried. You could not. No, Rodney Allen Rippy. Now I'm scared to say it. He would be disgusted with you if he saw what was in that bowl that you brought in.
Yeah, everybody would. Everybody, but it's actually good for you.
Yeah, no.
If you have a clean colon and eat, like I do probiotics and things like that. That's, look, I'm 42 years old. I hope I don't look it, but I'm 40 looking too. And I do probiotics. I do my vitamins. I'll show you how many vitamins I take. You're going to be like, what in the hell?
If the you zombie got the vitamins virus on came, you?
Yeah. If the zombie virus hit, it wouldn't affect me.
Rodney. Ooh, was
because you could just
Rodney
fart
Allen
and
King
take
was
down.
Only.
Because you could just fart and take them down with everything you're
no,
eating.
No, because I take all this every day.
Yeah.
Big fistfuls of pills in front of us.
This is good. This is what keeps
What's
me
What's Rodney
alive?
King's middle name?
Probably not Allen.
Rodney King?
Oh, what is his middle name?
Ooh, what if it's Allen? And I'm right.
He loves Jumbo Jacks.
He was three, by the way, Rodney Allen Rippey was when he.
When he did that commercial?
Yeah. Rodney King's middle name is Glenn. It's kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, so was. The way you said it, too.
Glenn.
Glenn.
All right. One half or more. What do you got?
All right. Well, speaking of Ebola, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife donated $25 million to fight Ebola, donated it to the CDC. And he said, the Ebola epidemic is at a critical turning point. We believe our grant is the quickest way to empower the CDC and the experts in this field to prevent this outcome.
That's nice.
And this came after a story in the Daily Beast last week that said that Silicon Valley wasn't doing anything for Ebola.
You know what's weird? He donated $25 million, right?
Is that generous for him or not? That's what I'm trying to figure
out. But this is my whole point. We shouldn't put the for him after it. It's just $25 million, which is $25 million more than what he has. We always do.
We want the pound of flesh. We want that someone sacrificed.
Everything is like, how much? I know, but that's how chicks roll. Everything's an engagement ring. Like, I've said it a million times. It's never the carrot. It's the guy and how much pain it was. Right. If Zuckerberg got you a $4 million ring, you'd be like, what the fuck?
It's fucking cheap bastard.
But if he's a fry cook and he got you a $900 ring, it was a huge sacrifice.
Exactly.
And that's how we're all wired. Right. So it's like, $25 million gets a, he's not going to feel that. And it's like, okay, but it's, what have all the people we've known combined donated?
I was sitting there going,
zero?
I was just sitting there going, if $25 million, if I was to get Ebola, how much of that would go into my pocket? That's how much $25 million is. I'm willing to have Ebola just to get a
Got a slice of that pie.
I don't think it works that way. I don't think it's like you get an Ebola payout.
I know, but would it be awesome?
It'd be better if it did. Yeah, if we're like, we have no cure. Here's
Ebola
some money.
Some cash.
I hope this makes it better for the next 24 hours. 24 to 48 or however long you live if you have it.
So I'm going to say that was a very generous move on his behalf, no matter how many kajillions he has.
Yes, and the story was, what's Silicon Valley doing for Ebola?
That's after their self-professed goal to change the world.
Oh.
I know, I sort of had the same reaction.
Grasping at straws. Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with anybody and everybody. Don't make the proclamations of I'm going to change the world. Because then when shit goes down, they show up at your doorstep and go, what the fuck? You're in a hot tub with a
world
smoothie right now? We need some changing. And speaking of change, go to the bank and get some change. Big time. Just fucking go about your business. It is weird that we can just pick a group of folk and go, like, you know, what are the NFL owners doing about Ebola?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And you just go,
and they all
fuck?
Get pressurized, feel pressure to actually put up money. It was like, what the fuck? It's not my responsibility to fix Ebola. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, how am I going to...
I don't know, but I like Zucker for or Zuckerberg Burr. for doing that,
Zucker
and Allen King for doing that. And we shouldn't do that thing where we immediately hop to, well, he could have given more, or what's that mean to him, or that's like you giving $5 or whatever
I'm
it is.
Give $5.
Yeah,
I'm
but it's still 25 mil. Is 25 mil. I think it's a good thing. Yeah?
I'm the fry cook in the kitchen with the $900 ring. I'm giving my $5 to the Ebola.
Good. Let's bring it home
right now.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
You know what? I'm not going to rape you today. You made me laugh real hard. When did I say that?
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
It was right before he said this.
You better touch my ding ding. You better not touch my ding ding.
It's Rodney Allen King.
Was that today? Oh, shit. You better touch my ding-ding. You better not touch my ding-ding.
I'm king.
That's not how he can't be molested.
That was Marlon Wayans in studio, hanging out.
Did you watch the Wayans Bros?
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Do-do-do-do.
It was actually one of the few really funny WB sitcoms. A lot of them weren't that funny. Nick Frino, Licensed Teacher, a bunch of other shows that kind of came and went. It lasted. Yeah. It had some really good quality to it. I was in a Living Color kid, so I grew up on that. And I loved everything there in Mo Money.
Yeah. Adam mentioned one of Marlon's movies not too long ago when he was trying to say the full title of Don't Be a Menace while drinking your juice.
Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
My goodness. Yeah, I can see why he messed that up. All right, that'll do it for Corolla Classics. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us. The Adam Carolla Show returns January 6th, so you'll be getting Corolla Classics every single day. Till then, we'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.